Now, back to the Power Trip Morning Show on FM 100.3 KFAN. The Fan.
Who likes to masturbate?
I've done it.
Yeah, he's on a couch playing with himself.
That's quite the tug.
And I'm getting really sick of guys named Todd.
The Power Trip.
Leanne Vosvik once sat by the real Leanne Chen on a plane.
That's interesting.
She just told me a story about it. I didn't know it was a real person.
I did not either.
Yes. How about that?
I didn't either. Delicious.
Which is weird because I rode a Greyhound bus with Witch Witch once.
Oh, yeah.
I did.
I rode, actually, this is a true story and I know you're not going to believe it. This is may sound far-fetched.
Mm.
I actually rode on a tandem bicycle with Green Mill.
The Power Trip Morning Show. Weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 on The Fan. It's a Purple Monday on The Fan. Presented by Wellington Home Improvement.
Listen up. The ratings just came in for last month. We are number one. We just grabbed every key demographic.
Super duper, gang. Yeah. Super duper.
That's nice. Way to go. Neato, gang.
Yes, boy.
That is good news.
I mean, things happen to me you wouldn't believe. It's a weird feeling to be standing in a men's room and see your home phone number on a wall. What the hell am I sweating for? It's my joint. I got the job. I don't know what I'm doing here. You know what I mean? All right. It's just a hobby. That's all a hobby. I work here for laughs, you know. I make my money at my regular job. I sing the national anthem at cockfights. What do you say we bust up this joint, huh? Next week, after the fire. Now, when I started in show, I worked only tough places, places like Fonzo's Knuckle Room, Aldo's, formerly Vito's, formerly Nunzio's. Ooh, that was a tough one, Nunzio's tough. I sat down to eat in a menu that had broken leg of lamb. Nunzio, he was tough. And then he said to me, kid, you want to go hunting? I said, okay, I'm game, and he shot me.
I've been watching these strongman shows. You seen these things? He's got these like these big Nordic looking guys, or their neck starts like at the top of their ears. There's no vowels in their name. Their name is like Kirkus Vodkagagar. How do you call him for dinner? Kirkus Vodkagagar! Get your brother, Gutes Rogenslagen! Gutes Rogenslagen! We're having goulash! I'm not making fun of them, you know. It's a competition that I think is weird, you know. They're not lifting weights. It's like, all right, Kalkovic, we filled these grand pianos with molten lead. See how many can hurl in that third-story window in 30 seconds. I'm at home. Put it down. They don't need to be up there. I'm sure of it. Your back's going to snap like a twig. You think one of them would say, why don't we rig up a pulley system?
What Bashaud Breeland just did to Adam Thielen should be a felony in 48 states. Keenum shotgun puts Kyle Rudolph in motion to the right. Three receivers right, McKinnon to the left of Keenum. Case steps away from the pressure. Pumps, fires. Caught! Touchdown! Adam Thielen! Wow, what a catch by Adam Thielen! It's a 6-yard touchdown reception as we are executing some new touchdown celebration. That involves hurdles.
Leapfrogging.
It's back. And we just leapt over Washington. Case out of the shotgun. Takes the Pat Elf line snap. Fires right. Caught by Jarius Wright at the 5. Weaves his way inside the 5. Touchdown! Case Keenum just threw a career-best 4th touchdown with 12:22 to go in the third quarter. That one goes to Jarius Wright. Minnesota leads 30-17.
Your writer from back behind the net. It's a back right point. Here's Dumble with a shot. That's a play. Harris scores. Hooker took the shot back behind the net. May have hit the Philadelphia goaltender and came back in. If it does, that's Hooker's 6th straight goal here for Minnesota.
What about the Gopher basketball team? What about the Gopher football team? What about everybody but the Wolves? What about the weekend the Twin Cities just had? We basically just kicked everybody's ass. Jason Zucker's on fire.
Yeah, yes he is.
Man,
and so is Dubnyk. Him and Dubnyk won that game on Saturday night.
Back-to-back shutouts is nice, but Zucker's run is borderline historic. One away from an NHL record with 6 consecutive goals for his team, uninterrupted by Niederreiter, Dumba, Spurgeon.
Late nights.
Right. Jimmy Butler.
That's a guy.
Keep rolling.
What a great song. We have like a Limp Bizkit Monday.
Probably not.
Do we have a Limp Bizkit month?
Yeah.
I've had like a couple Limp Bizkit years.
I've heard.
Yeah, I did too. It was called late high school, early college.
Keep rolling.
Just flying around campus at the University of Minnesota. Just rolling.
Such a good song.
You chicks want to party? I'm listening to Limp Bizkit.
Keep going.
Okay. Keep walking, Chubsy.
Right. I'd obviously drive around campus. I'm not walking around it.
You want to listen to my Walkman later? Just let me know.
Yeah. Here's my pager number. You can't have the actual pager.
Oh! Anywho. Man, where to start? Obviously, the Vikings win is gigantic. But, man, I'm so jacked for Jason Zucker. What a sweet weekend. 6 straight goals. He goes to tie the NHL record tomorrow. When the Wild host the Flyers, if he gets the first goal of the game for the Wild, that ties the NHL record.
Unbelievable. And I'm glad. I'm happy for him.
You golf with him.
I do. And the one common denominator is he's sleeping.
Hey, but I tell you what. Are they home next game?
They're home tomorrow.
Okay. If he doesn't score, it's going to be a catastrophe for poor
Carly.
Yep. Not literally, but you know, everybody will just go crazy joking-wise. About how
well
it's
some
her
people
fault.
Be serious because they take sports way too serious because they have nothing else to live for.
How's Devonta Freeman?
Hockey and I have a plan. We're sabotaging it the rest of the way.
How do you sabotage it the rest of the way?
Again, I didn't say that.
Yeah,
no,
you did.
No, I did
I'm
not
just
say
kidding.
I was sabotaging.
I'm going to just make sure the best player falls to the bottom.
I said...
Plus, I don't know if I can help that because as
well,
I...
Of course you can't. If you just know who's going to win, then you would have been picking him by now. You make it sound like this game is riggable.
That's my point. But here's what I do know. I'm just going to draw names out of a hat.
Yeah, me too. I'm going with your motto. Because
I tried that last year. It didn't work.
But my motto now isn't work. Or my mold, whatever.
I tried flipping a coin.
I got John Creasel's mold, if you think that'll help.
Yeah.
I had it once at the airport for 24 hours.
I'd rather do that.
Took pictures with it.
Like a chump.
Yeah, 0 yesterday for Sauce in the Fantasy Charge Challenge with Devontae Freeman's concussion. But the ghost player, Mark Ingram, 31 points.
Yay.
Did you see that stat from Power Trip Bets? All of us have scored 20 points once. The ghost has scored over 20 points 4 times. We're getting killed.
Well, not we. I'm only down 1 to the
shocking,
ghost. You guys are... Yeah, right. You keep saying it's rigging. I've lost the last 2 years.
Well, yeah, really, but then we changed the scoring. Although I think I'd be losing if we'd gone to last year because I think I've lost most weeks anyway. Not a good run in fantasy. But who cares?
Yeah, man. I don't
care.
Sauce
said yesterday he would pay me $500 to get out and not have to pierce his ear and dress like a pirate.
Yeah, and I told him to sign the check to make sure he made it out to me.
I'll pay you each $300. Do everything else but pierce my ear.
Done. Yes. Done. Bam. And thank you. Right so, home about it.
Wait a minute. So you'll dress like a pirate for the week. You'll talk like a pirate for the week. You'll do everything but pierce your ear, and you give me, AJ, and Hawk $300 apiece. You're going to spend $900 to not pierce your ear.
100%.
I'm
in. Let's do it right now. Okay. Done.
That's if the I have to lose, ever. Though.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. That's fine. If yes, but. Yes.
Sure. Okay.
Done.
Deal.
Done and done.
100%.
That's the easiest thing I've ever
don't
heard
care.
In my life.
Don't know. Don't show.
You know,
don't care.
You know the hole would close back up after.
I don't
the
care.
Week.
I just don't want to do it.
Why?
I don't know. It's like I don't.
It I'm doesn't
just,
hurt.
I know it doesn't hurt. I'm just. I've never been a big earring fan.
Well, it's a week. It's a punishment.
Don't care.
I've never been growing my growing my hair
yeah,
out kind
but
of a
you
guy.
You do like taking dildoians through the airport.
Dan Bilzerian's yeah. through the airport.
Yeah. How's he?
I think he's doing well.
I had to unfollow
really check in on him.
Yeah, I had to unfollow him. He's too much.
Mm.
Plus, I think he's crazy.
How was Washington?
Really good. Really good. Really, really good. Game was fun. Lots of storylines there.
Yeah, a lot to talk about.
Sat on the old tarmac for a long time.
Yeah, so what happened? One of the engines needed a jump start. I saw Lieber tweeting about it.
Yeah, so here's the thing. And this was probably stealing a comedian's bit, and I'm not going to be funny about it, I don't think they'll be upset. I don't need to know that the engine won't start.
Right, don't tell the whole plane that we have a problem with an engine. Because then I assume you don't want to be on the plane.
Hell no.
At all.
But there's also a part of me like, get this plane started. You know, because getting on and off the plane is tough for anybody. For the Vikings charter, all the equipment's on.
It would take hours, right?
It would take
couple
hours.
Hours.
It would take at least an hour. To get everything off the plane, get on another plane, and load another plane. So, yeah, a couple hours. Right. So there's part of you going, I don't care. I'm willing to roll the dice. Just get in the air. The other part of me is like, I don't want to know that the engine won't start. Just tell me, hey, we got a bit of delay here. Make something up. Tell me your poker game ran long. I don't care. So he says, the old engine won't start. We're going to get a jump start. I'm thinking... Is this a Boeing Chevy 40 Chevy?
Is one of the Wright brothers going to come out?
Right. And so they bring out this machine. He says, you're going to hear a strange noise, just us getting a jump start. A little bit later. That one didn't work. We're going to bring out another one. Going to be a couple more minutes. What do you mean that one didn't work?
How does it not work?
Well, how did that? So you hear some random weird noises. And then everything goes black. And the engine starts. And he comes back on. He says, we got the left one started. Here's what we're going to do. No, okay. We got the left one started. Couldn't get the right one going. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to taxi on out with just the left engine. And we're going to use the left engine to start the right engine. Now, I'm no aficionado on planes. It's got to be something like about the suction of the wind of the
because
this is an enormous
that's
plane.
That's exactly
wrong.
What it is.
This is this is as big as the planes we flew overseas. I don't know why we had such a big plane. I'm glad we did. Don't get me wrong, but it's an enormous plane. So we go out and sure enough, they start that engine. The other one starts right up. And then we take off. But the whole time I'm thinking, what's wrong with these damn engines? Why won't they start? And could you kick it over once while we're on the bus on the way here? Because when we got done with the show, when we got done with the game, start me up.
Great song.
When we got off got on the buses, we didn't go back to Dulles or wherever. We went to Baltimore to go home. So you knew we were coming. Just kick the old engines over. Start me up.
Right.
See if they're going to run. Because one of the things we need is engines that work.
Yeah, that helps.
That's the minimum.
Well, I would say that's probably number one.
Can I ask a question? I'm sure you didn't see it. Are there jumper cables?
I didn't see it. I was sitting in the middle of the plane, and I didn't have the windows open, and I didn't want to know.
I wonder how they jumpstart a plane.
I don't know. I don't know.
Do they pull up another one next to it and pop the hood?
That was the thing. I mean, you saw Ben's tweet about Linville getting out and pushing it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, don't you just crank it over once just to see if the engine... I mean, if you
just crank
up,
it.
Would you walk up and say, okay, we're all on here, congrats. Oh, wait. We're the damn wings.
Right. Hold on.
Hold on, everybody.
We're gluing some on.
Hold
Takes
on.
An hour for the glue
we're
to dry.
We're going to get the wing man out here.
Yeah.
He's going to put the wings on.
Here comes Wobby.
Oh, Bennett. Man. Do I got stories about those two?
I can't wait. Oh, my God. Off air?
Oh, my God. No, I got one for the air.
Yes.
Bring it. Let's start with that.
Yeah. You should have led with that.
Yeah. Who cares? You guys all got home safely.
You're safe.
Now let's go back to PA and Wobby.
Yeah.
Okay, what I'm about to tell you.
Can I ask you one question before we even start the story?
Yeah, sure.
Do the players think their relationship is weird, too? Like, is Wobby and PA just a thing that media members think is funny, or do the Vikings look at them oddly as well, the actual players?
I don't know many of the players well enough to answer that question. The ones I know think it's pretty weird.
I have a follow-up.
Sure.
When was the last time you took a picture with a friend of yours cheek to cheek? and face cheek.
Face cheek to face cheek.
Wobby and Red.
Wobby in the lobby, man.
What's the story?
Get one.
Here?
All right.
Did you know he thought they were going to win yesterday?
Yep. All right. Somebody who will go nameless. Because I'm not going to tell you the name of the person. Peed themselves in the booth during the broadcast yesterday.
Wait, an adult?
Somebody on the broadcast team, yes.
Well, that narrows it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben's on the field.
Greg's on the field.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Bursich has an incredible bladder.
Yeah.
How would you know that?
Him and hockey, I talked about it in London.
Hockey pees every 15 minutes, so he is well aware of his bladder. Jared Wells, I don't think, pees.
What gives you that idea?
He told
me. We were with him in London, yeah.
He said he doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Really?
He's against it.
Yeah. It's against his religion. Yeah. So, okay, I don't know who it is then.
So here's what happened.
Oh, God.
Somebody who will remain nameless. Really had to go bad because this person drinks a lot of coffee. Mm-hmm. And the NFL thankfully has reduced the length of the breaks. And so this person had to really go bad, number one. And it's a small booth. And so this person came back and grabbed a water bottle that I had used earlier. And said, I'm going to go right here. So they proceeded to start to urinate in the bottle.
You saw it?
I did not. I refused to look in that direction.
Oh. Smart play.
Yeah.
But.
Was it loose?
What do you mean?
Never mind. Keep going.
The bottle was too small.
Well, it's definitely not Wobby.
I don't mean that. I mean, there wasn't enough liquid room.
Right. It's, in this sense, we're talking about PA and Wobby. Potentially.
I never said that.
Paul and I are talking about PA and Wobby.
Okay,
I never said that. Identical to Dumb and Dumber.
That's exact. You're correct.
Yeah.
Except.
Pinch it off.
Need another bottle, Harry. Need another bottle.
Yeah. I can't stop once I've started. It stings.
Except this person got flustered. Put the cap. On the full bottle and had to continue into the trash can and somehow got it all over himself. I mean, all over himself.
Legendary.
Right beside me. And all I'm hearing is, oh, God. Zed, I got it. Oh, God.
Paul, your hands up.
Do you think the Green Bay Radio Network is talking about Wayne Larrabee pissing himself?
No.
Or Kevin Harlan?
Listen.
Do you think Marv Albert's ever pissed
himself?
Let's
get this straight.
You
I
didn't
did
say
not
a name.
Say who it was.
Okay.
So don't assume it was Wayne Larrabee.
Well, you don't work with Wayne Larrabee, so I'm not.
Well, that freaked me out.
Sure.
So, yeah. Yeah, that happened right just close enough to graze my left A cheek.
Gotcha.
All of this happened yesterday during the first fourth quarter of the game.
Was it noticeable?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. This person was wearing gray slacks.
Oh, my God.
That story's great. Don't get me wrong. This story's great. I really honestly thought the kicker at the end of the story was going to be that Wabi was the receptacle.
Yeah.
I got it.
On purpose.
I'll do it.
Use me as a toilet.
Pretend you're R. Kelly.
Yeah.
Pretend you're R. Kelly.
Front Page Sports is next.
I should probably play a song.
If alphabetically you were still in the L's,
yes,
and the L's,
mm-hmm,
you didn't have to switch to Linkin Park. You could have stayed with Biscuit.
Yeah, I ran out of Biscuit songs.
No,
you didn't run out of Biscuit songs.
They only have those songs.
No, play Faith.
The only songs.
Play Counterfeit.
Hell yeah. Play Breaks.
Play Pollution.
But don't you like Linkin Park better?
I don't know if I do.
I don't.
I think I like Limp Bizkit better.
That's a weird thing. You guys can't ever make fun of me for hair bands.
We love Bizkit. I'm not saying Bizkit's good. It's just fun.
That's the reason.
There's a difference.
It's the same thing with the reason I love hair bands, man. Same exact thing.
But Bizkit's way better than
Wasp.
All right,
now stop that. That's not.
It's not even close.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You watch your mouth when you talk to me.
Black Lawless sucks.
He does.
Although, Andy said he was amazing when they went to see him.
Andy, my good friend Andy.
Andy loves Wasp.
I love Andy.
I do,
I like
too.
That guy.
Dude, he's
like
the party
with that guy.
Dude, we had so much fun with him.
I know.
And he, like, took time off to hang out with us.
My good friend Andy.
And he likes drinks.
Yeah, he does.
What is this?
It's Counterfeit. How do you not know this song?
I don't know this one.
It's by request from one person in the world.
You didn't have $3 bill, y'all?
Yeah, but I only listen to the hits.
You just listen to Faith?
Yeah.
What do you mean the hits? This was one of their hits off that album.
I don't think so.
Was this an Edge song?
This was every radio station in the world, including Smooth Jazz, played Counterfeit.
Oh, really? Smooth Jazz?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sick of you too. They don't like a lot of things,
they
right?
They don't like
Limp
the
Bizkit.
Band U2. Well, why do they think U2's been Counterfeit?
I don't know.
How about Sebastian bringing the Thunder Bucket last night?
Man,
winning that game for us.
Strong finish for Sebastian Thunder Bucket yesterday. The fourth down play was awesome. The whole defense played well. Without Everson Griffin.
Right. Man. Without their big toe.
Man, I'll tell you what. Linville.
No pun intended.
Linville was
unbelievable.
Hurting people yesterday.
This team played maybe the best first half I've seen and then kind of went, all right.
Well, and again, the second half, I let's just call it what it was. Case just made some dumb decisions. Yeah, I think he got overconfident.
Two horrible throws. Yeah. But outside of the two horrible throws,
oh my gosh,
a dominant performance by the whole team. Yeah. And, of course, Case Keenum.
I said this to Hockey while we were
kissing
and contemplating how we're both going to make lovely pirates.
Yeah.
Why is it not brought up that Case could be the quarterback of this team next year? I mean, if he continues the way he's playing, he'd be cheaper because you have to re-sign. You're not going to sign Teddy to a one-year deal. Why is it never brought up that Case should be the starting quarterback?
Well, I don't know how the Teddy Bridgewater tolling things work.
I don't either.
I don't understand how it works. I know AJ wrote about it. I know other people have written about it. I just don't understand
tolling,
it.
Tolling, tolling.
Yeah, who knows? So I don't know how Teddy's contract next year works.
Corey.
Right.
I'm just saying, though, you're not going to sign Teddy to a 3 or 4 year deal. You know what you have with Case. Thank you, babe.
I bet they do sign Teddy to a 3.
Yeah, but isn't he already under contract? That's what I don't understand how tolling works. Is he locked in for another year or two because of some clause?
Anytime I hear the word tolling, I just think of Toll House cookies.
Mm.
Warm. Mm. So, yeah.
Or driving through Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I used to love as a kid.
Yeah, so did I.
My grandparents lived in Chicago, so I would go to Chicago, and I thought it was so cool to go through the tolls and throw the change in the bucket. Right.
Yeah.
And now as an adult, I'm saying, this place is an effing prison.
Yeah, why is it so damn... Now it's like $40 a toll. Used to be like 15 cents when I was a kid.
And you can't just drive through it because the cameras catch you. It's like, you got to stop. This sucks. Pay for your own roads the normal way with taxes. Take my spare change. Who has change? You got Apple Pay on those tolls?
And people now pay with credit cards. Get some money.
Some money.
Yeah, why are you poor?
Chicago.
I can't hardly believe it.
The Vikings won 38-30 over Washington. The Vikings are the current number 2 seed in the NFC. They have the tiebreakers, as if it matters, because there's still a long way to go. But they have the tiebreakers with the Saints, who have won 7 in a row, and the Rams, who are the Vikings' opponent on Sunday. Have you guys seen the line for Sunday?
I think I did. If it's
duck, duck, quack, or whatever it was.
Yeah, duck, duck, quack, or whatever it was.
Yeah, duck, duck, quack.
What do you think it is? The Rams and Vikes, both 7-2. The game is at U.S. Bank Stadium Sunday at noon.
Vikings by 3.5.
Corey, I think when I went to bed last night, I believe it was 2.5.
That is the correct answer. The Vikings are 2.5-point favorites. How about this for a couple of Rams stats for you at 6:06 in the morning?
I love stats.
Stats win.
The Rams' last 3 games go a little something like this. They won 33-0.
That's a lot.
Then 51-17.
Okay.
And then 33-7.
Jeez, Becky.
They have 4 wins. This is a stat that will blow your mind and give us bigger ratings.
I love stats.
Stats move the meter.
Should we do a podcast about it?
Check this stat out. The Rams this year have 4 wins of 25 points or more. Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Seems good to me.
They had 3 wins of 25 points or more in the last 12 seasons.
Hmm. Whoa.
From 2004 to 2016, 3 of those. They have 4 this season. They're killing it.
Go ahead.
They've beaten the Colts, the 49ers.
Awful, awful.
The Giants.
Awful.
Jacksonville, who defensively is okay, offensively is hideous. Arizona. Mm. The only decent team they've played is Dallas.
Here's the comeback, though.
And they beat Houston yesterday without Deshaun Watson, which is basically playing Indiana.
But here's the comeback. They're not beating these teams 17-14.
Well, they beat San Francisco 41-39.
Okay, but you're blowing out everybody else.
Of course. No, I get it.
They're doing what good teams do to bad teams, which is annihilating them.
Rolling.
And how about this for a stat? You guys like stats?
Duh.
The Los Angeles Rams of Anaheim have tallied 296 points so far in Sean McVay's first 9 games as an NFL head coach. The only coach in the Super Bowl era with more in his first 9 games is Mike Martz, also from the Rams, back in St. Louis, with a 354 tally way back in 2000. So that's still 50 points more than McVay, but tons of points on the board for the Rams. The Rams' offense is clearly their strong point, which is great because the Vikings' defenses clearly are. So, Paul, in the battle of the unstoppable force versus the immovable object, who wins?
In my studies, gravity.
Gravity!
You should play that.
Great point.
That's a great song.
Yes. Duck, duck, quack, or whatever it was.
What?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the classic game, duck, duck, quack, or whatever it was.
Duck, duck, quack, or whatever it was.
Oh.
Does anybody else think it's just dumber than hell? And I know it's the rule. I get it. I'm not saying he shouldn't have been flagged, but anybody else think it's dumber than hell that you can have a 700-person leapfrog game as a touchdown celebration and that's fine, but you can't jump up and hug the goalpost?
Yeah.
Isn't that stupid as hell?
I made a very similar point to Pete Bursich last night on the tarmac.
It's dumber than hell.
Yeah.
Don't use props. Well, they're using each other as props, and somehow that's okay, but you can't hug the goalpost.
You can play hide and seek.
No, I'm pretty sure Stephon Diggs tried to get that thing pregnant.
Yeah, or rack himself.
Right, one of the two. Right.
I mean, how do your seeds not get crushed?
I don't know.
How do you not walk away from that, like, Oh, God. Because you know those guys that were in cups? It slows you down.
Duck, quacko, oh, whatever it was.
That's the answer I was looking for. Thank you, Greg.
The guys on the TV broadcast called it Duck, Duck, Grey Goose.
That's what Parrish plays. I would play that.
Mr. Diggs, you should stay at the goalpost.
And he did just to get back with his teammates. You know, everybody's just happy for him, man. You know, excited.
That's what Jim said. Teddy Bridgewater.
If there's one thing that...
Oh, well, it's labeled Diggs. Swear to gosh.
Is it?
Who did this?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that be you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's labeled Diggs on staying off the goalpost.
Really?
That was sounded like Diggs talking about Teddy being back.
Yeah, and then Greg talking.
And he did just to get back with his teammates. You know, everybody's just happy for him, man. You know, excited.
Coach Zim said that if there's one thing that he had to do, he's got to keep you off of the goalpost.
Yeah, just definitely. Didn't edit the beginning of it.
Not my best decision. You know, something that I wouldn't do moving forward. You know, spare the moment, especially because of where to put us on special teams wise. But definitely won't happen moving forward.
There you heard it.
Thanks, Greg.
Duck, quack, or whatever it was.
There you heard it.
It's weird. You didn't edit the beginning or the end.
I don't think I did that one. Because I edited them all, and I remember specifically editing that one, thinking they're going to need this one.
Right.
Maybe I didn't. I swear I did.
You probably were still melting down over Devonta Freeman having a concussion. Chris, things were thrown. C-bombs were dropped.
I get pissed.
It was instantly, I'm just going to pay you to get out of this. I'm like, you know you have, what, 6-7 weeks left. And he wants to just wave the white flag and quit. Yeah, all of us now trail. And you guys all made fun of me for taking Crowell on Friday, and he finished second. He had 15 points.
Yeah.
But the right answer was Mark Ingram. He had 31, yeah. And even I trail the Ghost now by one. So if it ended today, and it doesn't, all of us, the entire show, would lose to the Ghost, which is embarrassing.
Yep, yeah. Pretty embarrassing. Yeah. Yep. Not good at this.
We suck at games.
We're not good.
What's that one game, the...
Duck, quack, or whatever it was. We're not good at that.
No.
Jason Zucker's good at hockey.
Peter Wright from back behind the net. Gets it back right point. Here's Dumble with a shot. That deflects wide. Karam scores! Zucker took the shot from back behind the net. May have hit the Philadelphia goaltender.
It did.
And came back in. If it does, that's Zucker's sixth straight goal here for Minnesota.
Even he said he got lucky on that one. He kind of half-whiffed, kind of. And, yeah, it just basically bounced off the goaltender's legs. He didn't get a clean shot on goal, but it doesn't matter. That's how hot he's running right now. He's like, Hansel, he's so hot right now. Just killing it.
Yeah, it's like a video game. I mean, every time the game's going and you're on Twitter, he just is everywhere you look. It's him. He's dominating. He's the whole team.
And if you go to pioneerpress.com, startribune.com, wild.com, everyone is talking about road sleep. I'm telling you, it's just ridiculous.
I talk about road.
Right.
Yeah, you have, which is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Oh, man.
Paul, tell me more about your experiences with that.
Oh, it's phenomenal. It's one of those things that...
Oh, good for you!
It's like when you wake up and you don't expect your breakfast is already made, and it's like a surprise. I'll just put it this way. It's like Christmas morning in the middle of May.
And that was Meat Sauce with What Else Is It Exactly Like?
I bet you're right.
Underrated Bush song, by the way.
Yep. All those damn greedy flies.
Bush whales. It do.
Yep.
It's better than whale bush. Yeah.
I like what I like.
Finding Dory just got really gross.
Yeah. Or for hockey, really exciting.
Hey.
Power Trip Morning Show returns after this.
It's time for the Power Trip Cast Quiz. We give you the castmates and the year the movie came out. You give us the movie. The castmates, Tom Hanks and Catherine Zeta-Jones. The year, 2004. The answer, right after this.
Blue Fan.
And now, the answer to the Power Trip cast quiz. The castmates, Tom Hanks and Catherine Zeta-Jones. The year, 2004. The answer, the terminal. And now, back to the Power Trip.
Oh, yeah, how about that?
That's where the Vikings were stuck for about 2 hours yesterday.
Yeah.
How long do you think you guys sat on the old tarmac yesterday?
Probably an hour and a half.
The Terminal is a great movie.
Is it really?
Oh,
pretty good.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
It's pretty good. Cry, right?
What's the whole point of it? He gets stuck in a terminal. Why?
The country that he's living in goes to war.
Has a coup, actually.
Yeah.
And so they're no longer recognized as a country. So he can't go home.
Yeah.
But he can't come into the United States because he doesn't have a valid visa.
So he's just stuck in the airport.
So he's stuck in the airport, and people basically forget about him, so he just lives there.
Yeah, for how long?
He falls in love with Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Like years, right?
It's so good.
Like 3 years. It's a true story, by the way.
How could you live in an airport for a couple of years?
Nobody knew he was there.
Yeah, and yeah.
Where did he shower?
There's showers in the airport. It's in New York. They have everything. In LaGuardia.
I don't know. You should watch the movie. I think you'd like it.
You would like it.
Plus, I don't have time. I got to finish Stranger Things. I'm a couple episodes back on Walking Dead. I'm like 4 episodes back on Mr. Robot.
So am I.
I got to catch up. I got other things to do. I don't have time. I'm playing Mario Odyssey. I have over 500 Power Moons. I'm kicking ass there. Falling in love with the game more and more as I play it.
I could have sworn you said you beat it.
I did, but there's...
No, he was talking about something else.
The main storyline was very simple, and I just shredded it in a couple of sittings. But there's so much to do. The game's very deep after that. Mm. A lot of side action in Mario Odyssey.
Sweet.
Mm.
Speaking of Mario Odyssey, I should have used that for MO on Friday when you dominated in initials.
That's a good point. I would never have gotten it. Yeah, I don't know, man.
That was rare domination.
It certainly was.
It was sweet.
Yeah, it was fun.
You couldn't miss, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I could see the words.
Just locked in.
I could see them inside my head.
I'm happy for
you. Right
there. It was very good.
Gopher football beat Nebraska Saturday by 9,000 points.
Yeah, it was. I watched the entire game because I have little to nothing to do, and I wanted to not do anything.
And you love Fleck, right? You're a big PJ Fleck guy.
The words can't describe how much... That guy is great.
Okay.
I'm handcuffed.
I think you needed some more words in that sentence.
Yeah, I needed a lot more than that. But the Nebraska Cornhuskers, who in my era, when we were kids, Corey.
The Lawrence
they were
Phillips
dominant
era.
Dominant. They were the best team in college football. They were a team on Saturday that classically got off the bus or the plane and went, I don't want to be here. You nuts. They looked so, it was so bad. No effort on the defensive line. The defensive line quit. That's one of the worst performances I've seen out of a college football team. I'm shocked if the head coach doesn't get fired.
I thought that he would. I didn't think they'd
let
him back
on playing. It was so bad. They'd quit. They've quit on that season. There was no oomph. Just saying.
Hey, since we're going to do what really matters in the next segment, can I ask you guys a question that's not sports related?
Yeah.
Sauce, did you buy the Taylor Swift album or you just listened to some of it and didn't like it?
I didn't buy it.
You didn't buy it. But you've heard some of it or a lot of it?
I heard the iHeartRadio app.
Yeah.
And you just didn't like it?
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's terrible. Hawk, have you heard it or purchased it yet?
I haven't had time to do that yet. I forgot about it.
He'll buy it.
I don't know if they'll buy it.
It's going to be a big deal, obviously. I understand that.
Did you see the number it'll hit?
Well, what, 2 million? Is that what they're saying?
No, for just Friday alone, it sold like 770,000 copies.
Here's why I asked.
Pee Wee.
Taylor Swift was the musical performer this weekend on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, did she kill it?
Do you remember Ashley Simpson?
Oh, no.
Sure, I remember her, yeah.
Remember the big... SNL kerfuffle because she walked off and then she blamed it on acid reflux. Yeah. And then we realized that she was about to lip sync the entire show and her song. And then Lorne Michaels and SNL basically said, yeah, we're done doing the track thing. We're done doing lip syncing on SNL. You're doing it live. The show's called Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way Taylor Swift sang that on Saturday.
Really?
No chance.
Really? We should get an expert to watch it like Hogsley.
The choruses were flawless and... identical.
Huh.
Oh. She lip-synced.
Oh.
100%.
Okay.
She may have, I think the only time she may have had the mic on was the bridge.
Altered Bridge?
Not Alter Bridge, no.
Great band.
You should
good
play
point.
Them. Yeah, or Creed.
That first song, she lip-synced for sure.
Really?
Yep.
How was the performance, though?
I mean, yeah, that's the bit is, yeah, she sold it.
Yeah, okay.
But I kept shaking my head going, I thought we were done with the lip-syncing bit.
No kidding.
There's no way she sang that.
You know, I haven't heard anything about that, and trust me, the internet folks out there like to point out when that happens.
I'm going to be floored. And I will admit if I'm wrong, but I'm gonna.
Well, that'll be a first.
It will be a first. I'm gonna be floored if we find out she actually sang that, because it did not appear that she was.
Interesting.
Yeah. During the CMAs last week, people were all over Garth Brooks' case because apparently he lip synced. I didn't see any of it, but they don't let you get by with it anymore.
Good. They shouldn't,
unless you're Milli Vanilli.
I don't think some of those lips don't move at all anymore.
Rosie. This guy.
Two of them are
dead.
Beyond decomposed at this point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, too soon to Rob or Fab,
soon,
whichever one you are. Which one died, Rob or Fab?
It sounds like Rob.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know why.
Or it could be Fab, right?
It could be.
That's how.
But in my head, it seems like
percentages
work. Rob.
I don't know.
Today! Man, what a great record this was. Is still, I guess. It still exists. I watched a television show on the plane on the way out that I'm intrigued by. And I'm going to watch the entire season of it because of the first episode. It's called I'm Dying Up Here.
Is that the Jim Carrey bit?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. So it's about stand-up comedians on, is it Showtime or Cinemax?
It's on Showtime, which is why I've never seen it before because I don't have Showtime. I don't think I might. I don't know.
You probably do.
Yeah, you do.
I might.
By the way, Tana B just texted me and said the first Taylor Swift song, I agree with you. So he's saying that he also believes. And again, I didn't see her second song, so I'm only referring to the first one, by the way.
Okay.
That she definitely lip-synced the first song.
Hmm.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay.
So I'm Dying Up Here?
Really, really well done. And it's
No, is he in it or just
no,
like he's just behind the scenes,
I believe he
right?
may even be the executive producer.
Okay.
But it's about the early 70s L.A. Comedy scene, and there it's basically based on Pauly Shore's mom owned what the Comedy Store, something like that,
right in West Hollywood.
It's basically based on that, and there's a Pauly Shore's mom character.
Would you?
Yes, you can see all the different comedian like who they turn out to be and such like that. But the first episode, it's not like a funny show. It's definitely a drama about what it's like to be a comedian and what it was like to be a comedian then. And I'm sold, man. First episode.
So, but I assume since it has stand-up comedy, there's moments of comedy as well, even though it's a serious show.
It's mostly a behind-the-scenes thing. You hardly ever see any of them doing comedy.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm intrigued by the characters. I like the characters. And there's a storyline in the very first episode that I really dug. So I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to watch it. It's called I'm Dying Up Here.
Oh.
And it's
all right.
It's good. You should watch it. I think there's 10 episodes. I liked that a lot.
I've heard it's very good.
I watched a movie yesterday, too. I forget what it was.
Oh, was it on your favorite website?
No, it was Saturday.
Oh, okay. I had a very Larry David moment, even though I've only seen one episode of that show in my
Curb
entire...
was brilliant again last night. Literally, they're running.
Can't watch it.
It's a flawless season. They haven't had one bad episode this year.
But I'll tell you about it. I really want your guys' opinion on it. It's something that happened to me yesterday at a coffee spot. And I want to know what you two think.
Did you have to pee in a bottle?
No.
During the break.
I'm an adult.
I'm going to let Chris Hockey be the judge of whether or not Taylor Swift lip-synced that first song Ready For It.
We have to hold hands during that.
I'll go watch it right now.
I got it for you, too. I already got it pulled up. And then What Really Matters is next. Ben Lieber will join in 30 minutes to break down the big Vikings victory, 38-30 over Washington. And that'll basically do it. You know, that's basically the whole show. Let's
yeah,
just
man,
be
that's
honest.
Pretty much it. B-Rob will join.
Oh, that's right. By the way, he had some awesome plays.
He played the whole game.
Yeah,
right. In the fourth quarter, a couple of big plays. Yeah, that the batted ball was a game changer, right? We needed that one.
Yep.
That was big. Nicely done by B-Rob yesterday. All right, more after this. And who brings you this portion of the Power Trip Morning Show, Chris?
My friends and Saucy's friends at Youngstead's. Good morning, Ian, and all of you. If you got a problem with that issue, that car of yours, that truck of yours, go to Youngstead's.
Trip.
One of the shot is good.
Brought to you by Amana Heating and Air Conditioning.
And the wild news is that Jason Zucker kicks ass. Sure, we had back-to-back shutouts by Devin Dubnyk, but what Zucker's doing is, like I said earlier, borderline historic. He has 6 goals in 3 games, and all 6 of the Wild goals. The NHL record for consecutive goals by one player on a team is 7, set by something called Cy Denneny.
Remember Cy?
Yeah.
He played the bad guy in Rambo.
That was in 1920/1921, and then Brian Noonan in the 91-92 season with Chicago.
Oh. Interesting.
So Zucker goes for the record tomorrow night when the Wild are home for the first time in a week to take on the same Flyers. They just beat 1-0. And again, back-to-back shout-outs for Devin Dubnyk.
Keep the train a-going, like AC/DC once said.
Before we get to what really matters and start breaking down some football, Chris, Sauce, the three of us watched Taylor Swift's performance of Are You Ready?
I did.
The first song she performed on SNL on Saturday night. I claim lip-syncing for most, if not all, of the song. Hawk, your thoughts.
First of all, sweet song. Kind of digging that song. Kind of digging it.
Good luck to you.
Yeah.
Second of all, I have a... as the kids like to say, a halfie.
A half opinion?
I half agree with you and half don't. There are definitely parts of that song where she's lip syncing.
Yep.
But there are also parts where I'm pretty sure she wasn't.
Right.
I would say.
It's hard to tell when, though. The choruses are absolutely lip synced.
There are 2 spots, and I pointed them out to Sauce when we were watching, where I'm positive she was singing.
The bridge?
There was a spot in the bridge, and there was a spot at the end as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there's a couple of parts where when you're dancing like she was dancing, even if you're in spectacular shape, you're breathing in some form or another, and you hear no breathing at all.
No.
So I would say that's a halfie. She was singing parts of it and definitely lip-syncing other parts of it.
The chorus. And like I mentioned, at the end, when she probably was singing, it looked like she was singing... She was singing over a looped track of the chorus that was identical to the 2 choruses that she had just been
hard to argue with that. That is absolutely
it's
true.
It's the same. Yeah. It's the same.
Yeah.
Notes.
Hard to argue with that. But
not even hiding it.
And also, you know, if you need further proof, there is not a missung moment in that entire song.
Nope.
And she's not. And again, this is not a shot. She's fantastic. She's not known to be a spectacular vocalist. It's not her game, you know?
Really?
She's a good singer, but not a spectacular, I'm always on kind of vocalist. If you're singing live, there's at least one spot where you sing, you get out of breath, it doesn't matter how many times you rehearse. And there's nothing perfection in that track. So I would say you're half right, Corey.
Well, this is
maybe
the,
3/4 right.
This is still the 953rd example of why rock still rules.
Rock rules.
Rock bands cannot get away with this.
Rock and roll.
It would be over.
Yeah.
Right, if a rock band went on SNL and lip-synced, it's over.
Yeah.
You can't do it. Pop stars, for whatever reason, think you got to do a cool dance number to be famous and to be popular. You got to bust out. And the 4 gals singing behind her,
yeah,
0 of their microphones have batteries in them.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
0 of them.
Oh. Well, I mean, it's better to be seen than heard, right? Is that the old saying?
Not if you're on radio.
And now it's time for What Really Matters, brought to you by LutherAuto.com.
I thought we were past that lip-syncing thing. I thought Lorne Michaels threw the hammer down and said, we're not doing that anymore.
Right? Yeah, but are you going to tell Taylor Swift no?
Yeah.
Probably.
It's free promotion for her. If she doesn't want to go on, she doesn't want to be there the week that her new album debuts, then they'll find somebody else.
It's also massive ratings for them because people who normally aren't going to watch SNL are going to watch it if she's on it.
They're massive ratings.
The Vikings won 38-30 over Washington, a career-high 4 touchdown passes for Case Keenum.
Hell yeah.
Kai Forbath bombs another one from 50-plus. He's 5 for 5 from 50 or beyond this year. He's also made a 50-yarder in 4 consecutive games that ties a Vikings team record. He's only missed 1 field goal. I know he's missed 4 extra points, and for a while we were all shaking our head going, what is he doing? Forbath is money.
Yes. Money.
That was against his former squad outdoors on what everybody tells me, Chris, you were there, garbage turf.
Terrible.
Is it true they spray painted some of it?
There were parts of the grass that were spray painted green.
It's just dirt?
Come on.
It's just, it looks like they forgot to water it for a month.
How are their groundskeepers still employed?
I don't know if that's what the team requests.
Daniel Snyder just doesn't cut the check for his lawn service?
I don't know. Or for real, maybe it's the worst locker, one of the worst locker rooms by design, by the way. Daniel Snyder did it on purpose. It's one of the worst locker rooms we go to.
And
really,
based on your Twitter account as well, one of the worst press boxes in the NFL as well.
You saw the look when they're at the other end of the field.
Can't see it.
It's a guessing game. PA and Wabid and Pete, all those, just fantastic job diagnosing where the ball goes out of bounds or where the player goes out of bounds. I have no idea.
You're just guessing.
And they do this thing where the big screens are just above the very first level of seats in each end zone. And when your team's on offense, and they're on defense, obviously, they're doing basically a strobe light effect. And I don't know how it's legal.
That seems like cheating.
Yeah, that seems,
I don't know how it's legal. I really don't. Yeah. I'm not kidding you.
That's bush league.
Well, it's just barely above sightline for the quarterbacks. I don't know how that's legal. There are certain things you can't do in the rule book. And I want to ask Ben about that. Remind me to ask him about it when he gets here because he was down on the field. I've never seen anything like that before. During the play call, during the actual the cadence of the quarterback under center, this thing's flashing like it's a damn rave.
Really?
Yeah.
That has to be bad.
That's sweet.
Yeah, rave music wails. Yeah, hell yeah.
That's my rave music.
That's pretty good.
Thanks, I don't know. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
I got an album coming out.
What's it called?
Rave With Me Because I'm Horny.
Oh, Rave With You Because You're Horny. What's the first track called?
It's called
Sandstorm.
4 inches and a Can of Worms.
Okay.
What's the name of the song?
What's it about?
It's also the grossest porn I've ever seen.
Yeah. Or great porn if you're into that.
I'd love to have my shrink tell me what it means that all these things just come to my mind.
I would say...
Why did I just say 4 inches in a can of worms?
Well, because your penis is probably 4 inches long.
Well, way to be vague.
Yeah, duh.
That was
I wish.
Yeah. Well, Santa's going to be here soon.
Santa?
Ask Santa.
Santa? Did you bring
is it my turn?
Oh,
it's your
turn. Can I tell you about my story?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's right. You need us to solve your coffee-related problem?
Right.
You said it was Larry David-esque moment?
Yeah, that's
right.
Yesterday, I went to one of the coffee shops around here, and I get out of my car. I walk
up. Get into my car.
Great song.
Beep, beep. Oh, yeah.
Great song.
And now it's time for...
Damn it. I always forget that one has the stupid liner.
We
have the curve music without the common bit. Damn it.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ed Norton.
So I get out of my car, and I notice that this very nice lady has gotten out of her car. And I do this for anybody. I get to the door first, like 5 or 6 seconds before she gets there.
Yep.
I open it.
Okay, this is definitely,
she walks through.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I walk in behind her.
Yep.
And she starts ordering. Now, granted, in the scheme of things, I would have let her order first anyway. But technically, I was there first, right?
That's not how it works.
No, she walked into the building first.
Because I let her, though.
Doesn't matter. You let her in. She's in the building first. What's the problem, though?
Well, I don't know.
That's the problem.
But, yeah.
He wanted her to offer to let him go first.
I would have said, you were here first. Go ahead.
So, wait a minute. So, you hold the door open for her.
Right.
And then you want her to get in the building and then stop and let you pass her again.
Sure.
But isn't that being a gentleman in terms of, I'm holding the door? It's ladies first.
Yeah.
So, what's the issue?
I guess this wasn't a very good example, and I didn't think it all the way through.
You wanted her to let you go first.
Well, I'm just saying.
Now, Larry David, that's definitely a Larry David moment. He definitely would have said something to her.
I did not.
Because I'm a callous ass and I just waited to talk about it.
No,
on
she
radio.
Should go first.
Yeah, okay. No, but he wanted her to offer to let him go first.
Right. I mean, I would have. If somebody held the door for me, I would have said, hey, you were here first. Go ahead.
If you are concerned about being first in line, then you shouldn't have held the door for her.
No, you have to hold the door.
Well, then you have to let her go first.
I never know what the right amount of people to let through is once I hold the door open.
Because you'd still be standing
there. I do. I stand there from time to time for a very long amount of time. And I'm like, can somebody take over here? I'd like to go in. I have to use the restroom.
You use a toilet?
Sometimes I use a bottle.
You're going to get in trouble.
Bum, 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 bam, na, na. What really matters is this.
Good point, man. Good point. Wow. That's a hell of a point you just made.
Thank you.
He was talking to me.
I definitely was talking to him.
Sorry.
Not so much talking to you.
My story was stupid.
A police interrogation of a Kansas City man charged with drug and gun offenses ended prematurely when an investigator was driven from the room by the suspect's excessive flatulence. This is from the Pioneer Press today. A detective reported that when asked for his address, 24-year-old Sean Sykes Jr. leaned to one side of his chair and released a loud fart before answering.
Yeah, he even leaned into it.
You have to.
Yeah, that's a great move.
You have to.
Especially when you're around a bunch of buddies and you...
This is not around a bunch of buddies.
Still, though, I mean, this guy is loves the opposite. I love this. Hold on. What was that?
The end of the story, though, somebody needs to explain the end of this story to me.
Okay.
Because I don't understand how this is legally possible. Keep going.
The Kansas City Star reports that Sykes continued to be flatulent, and the detectives were forced to quickly end the interview. Sykes appeared in court Monday, charged with being a felon in possession of 3 firearms and possession with intent to sell cocaine. The charges stem from police traffic stops this month. The Federal Public Defender's Office hasn't responded to an Associated Press email seeking comment. What's the end of the story?
A handful of days ago, it sounded like they basically let the guy walk because they couldn't take his flatulence.
Really?
Well, that's what I said. I said, really?
Yeah.
How about you just let him, you know...
Sir, it seems like you've only got a couple days to live.
Right.
We're just going to let you go.
Why don't you essentially put him in a room and let him Dutch oven himself until he's done and then say, are you finished? Because if you are... We're switching rooms, and this is going to keep going.
Right.
You're not getting out of charges or an investigation or an interrogation because you can't keep it together.
And you're going to need an attorney to hold your hand while you sign this because your pink eye's so bad you can't see what you're doing.
Right.
I, the other day, was doing a commercial in the old Score 690 studios.
What happened to that?
And I farted. Boy. And I thought it was hilarious. So I just happened to be rolling tape at the time. And so I saved it. But I can't remember what I saved it as. I must have saved it in bits, maybe.
Here it is.
Duck quack or whatever it was.
No.
You saved a fart?
Yeah, it sounded hilarious to me. To the point where every time I listen to it, now I giggle. And I want to see if you guys have the same feelings.
If
I'm afraid that it's been deleted.
The walls and the Score 690 could talk, they'd leave. I sit over there. Oh, yeah. Just give it hell.
No.
I meant farting.
Oh.
No, there's windows. What am I, weirdo?
Yep.
Correct answer. I want to hear this.
Well, I do too. I'm afraid that your boss and mine deleted it.
No,
the quack or whatever.
He wouldn't have known what it was unless you wrote the best fart ever.
That's what I labeled one time.
Oh, yeah. What happened to that?
I don't know. Darn it. I really want you guys to hear it and see if you guys giggle as much as I do.
Well, I'll laugh. Farts are hilarious.
That's what I'm saying.
99% chance Sauce laughs, but an 84% chance that I do.
I think there's a pretty good chance that Ben Lieber would laugh.
We'll find it.
I'm trying,
Just put in the search, fart.
Yeah, I know, I did.
Oh, speaking of Lieber, did you listen to that AWOL Nation song that I sent you yet?
No, I haven't.
It shreds, and I know Lieber likes AWOL Nation as well. Can we play it when we get back?
Damn right.
His new song, I guess their new song, right? It's technically the name of the band, but it's also his nickname as well.
Yeah.
Their new song shreds.
They're great.
I'm a big AWOL Nation fan.
I'm going to spend the entire break looking for this fart.
Please do.
I can't wait.
A tease that that will make our boss
proud.
Yeah.
What else outside of that do we have in the 7 o'clock hour, Chris?
It's a great point. Ben Lieber will be here. AJ Mansoor will be here as well. And also, as we mentioned, we'll give you Vikings news and break down Jason Zucker's huge last three games.
Killing it.
It's the Lexus lineup brought to you by Lexus of Maplewood and Lexus of Wayzata.
Did you know that $1 provides three meals for hungry families through Second Harvest Heartland? Support Second Harvest Heartland and bring your family to a free classic movie at selected Imagine Theater locations this Wednesday, November 15th. Visit KFN.com for more details.
Duck, duck, quack, or whatever it was.
Good morning, AJ.
Good morning,
Chris. Good morning, Power Trip listeners.
How long are you going to talk?
It's Monday. It's November 13th.
Where's Ben? Is he on the plane?
No, he'll be here. The Vikes have won five in a row. They're 7-2. I've told you guys from the very beginning, this team's got something special about it. None of you wanted to listen to me. I tried to hand you bills of goods. You wouldn't take them. I took your rotten bills of goods, and I'm going to rip those up now.
Why?
You just told me that they're falling apart at the seams.
No, they're just, you know.
They're coasting.
Yeah.
That's never a good thing to do.
They don't want to put too much on tape.
For who?
For the rest of the Western Conference,
mostly,
when they shred them.
Yeah, mostly
Golden
the Warriors.
State, right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Kerr's a pretty good coach. You don't want him to have any information.
He's a good dancer.
Also true. Like Mark Madsen.
Right. I just love it. There's bowling on SportsCenter this morning. I wonder why.
It's because Mookie Betts.
Who the hell's that?
Who's a Red Sox, is he an outfielder, I think?
I think he was up for Gold Glove, yeah.
Bowled a 300 during the World Series of Bowling.
Is that right?
Holy, is he competing?
Moly.
I guess he's the real deal bowler.
I wonder.
They're saying he's like the Bo Jackson of baseball and bowling.
Well, yeah.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
That Mookie can do everything.
Mook knows
bowl the 300.
Everything.
Mm.
That's pretty good. I'd like to bowl a 300.
I thought you said you could.
Sauce, how many strikes in a row do you need to roll to bowl a 300?
Oh. 13?
Incorrect.
12?
Nailed it!
It is 13, isn't it?
No.
No, there's only 3 in the 10.
Oh, that's right.
9 plus 3. Yeah. Hi, Ben!
Hi. Smitty Oom's a good bowler.
No one cares.
So's Luke. Luke's a good bowler, too.
I'm telling you, I'm ready to do a bowling league.
You know what else Luke can do? He can kick really, really high.
Yeah, he can. So can Peter. Not
strange.
Really.
Yeah, it's easier if you take your clothes off.
Right.
I know what you mean.
Is Luke the guy that tried to fornicate with some fruit?
No, he's the guy who's like lost his arm to his dad.
What?
Right?
Oh, that's Luke Skywalker. No, Luke is not the one who did that.
Hi, Ben.
Good morning, guys.
Ben.
Good morning. Good morning.
Ben.
You probably heard me driving in. Are you you're an AWOL?
Yes, I am.
Right?
So I'm excited.
Have you heard the new jam?
I believe I have.
You've heard Passion?
Yes, I believe I have.
Ass.
But play it again to make sure.
Do we have it in the system?
We do. It goes a little something like this.
Blow my mind. Blow my mind.
I thought that was
Corey.
Blow
my mind. I thought it was
two. I found a potion for fixing passion. Go down your hungers. Get the reaction. Out on the ocean for satisfaction.
It's a little bit of an edgier version of Beck. It sounds very Beck-like to me, but a little rockier.
It's, and I would lean the other way. It's a little, well, maybe this is what you're talking. It's, I don't know if it's edgier to me compared to the other stuff. It's a little more poppy to me. A
little bit.
It doesn't hit quite as hard as some of their other songs, but I do
until
like
the chorus, right? Then the chorus, they put the pedal down, and I love it.
But I like it. I never thought I'd be a fan of AWOL Nation.
Yeah, me too. But I am.
You know, this is just sort of a broad opinion, and I want to ask you guys if you guys kind of share the same sort of thing. But if you hear this song on, say, the alt, right, and you're like, damn, I like this song. But, and let's say it's your jam for 3 months, and then all of a sudden you hear it on a pop station, I turn it off.
Strange.
It's weird. Like, it's like channel. It like loses its luster because I'm like, oh, now.
Oh, those people listen to this?
Oh, now it's
I'm
like,
not one of those people.
What? So for instance, like, I love this song by Judah and the Lion. Like, Take It All Back is what it's called.
Sure.
Right? Heard it on some alt stations. I'm like, damn, this is a great song, right? Kids even love it. If I hear it on like a pop station, I'm like, this is a jam right here.
I don't think I've ever heard this.
You've never heard this song?
Yeah. This is a great song.
Sounds like Eminem.
Yeah, this is Eminem and Mumford & Sons.
Feel I'm well on my way to my dreams coming true, and I'm getting to do it with you. When the people sing along, they're singing along with the banjo.
Duck quack or whatever it was.
So, for instance, that's a song that I dig, and then I hear that on a pop station. I'm like, just don't play it here.
I've lost it. Yeah, right. Like,
that's a, I don't know. Is that
that's a great song?
Weird.
Sure,
I like that tune.
So maybe not. Maybe I'm alone in that.
No.
I just like my... It's like when you discover something new and you just don't want everybody else to be mainstream, so to speak. Like, just keep it on sort of the alternative stage.
Yeah. Mm. Like slap bracelets.
Very similar.
Very similar.
Interesting.
By the way, thank you for keeping your bed warm last night.
Yeah. I'm glad Muppet was a little bit upset, but once that bed warmed back up, she loved it. Yeah. Thanks for coming over.
Yeah, no problem.
I can use some company.
Whatever it
was. All right, let's talk about Duck Duck Quack and the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah. Let me start with this segment the same way I started Fanline, Ben. I think the reason why I was so wrong about this team and a lot of people were wrong about this team is the two things that everybody was wrong about. Everybody. Offensive line and Case Keenum. You could argue those are the two reasons why they're 7-2, right? Case is 5-2 as a starter. The offensive line has surrendered, five sacks essentially all season, with four or five games where they've given up zero sacks, including yesterday. This was supposed to be, if you remember, Sausage, maybe the worst offensive line in the NFL. Now, that may have been just hyperbole, but at the end of the day, this was not supposed to be a great offensive line. And even the two guys we spent money on, Remmers and Reef, had question marks. It was, did we overpay because there weren't a lot of good options? Why didn't the Lions make a harder push to keep Riley Reiff if he's so good? Do we even trust these guys? We have a rookie at center. Is Elflein that good? Right? There was a battle in preseason. Like, is he even going to be the starter? So many questions about the line, and I'm not trying to put you in a bad spot, but I remember asking you before the year, if Keenum started all 16 games, how many wins would we have? And you'd say, like two. Right? This is going to be a long-ass year with this offensive line in Case Keenum. And now we're 9 games into the season, they're 7-2. And the two main reasons, outside of a great defense, is that Keenum's been more than adequate and the line's been spectacular. So I don't feel that bad about getting this wrong because everybody got the line wrong and almost everybody assumed that Keenum would be way worse than he is. He's been great. The line's been great. They're 7-2.
And can I add one more person in that sort of surprised me in how he was going to take all these ingredients and make something out of it, is Pat Shurmur. You know, when you get into the offseason and you're asked by your coach and GM, like, all right, what kind of, you're running this system, let's just call it West Coast, even though it's not West Coast, it's a hybrid of a lot of different things. But if you're going to do this zone running scheme and you're gonna utilize athletic linemen, like, you tell us what sort of players you're looking for. And the collaboration between finding talent, knowing what he wants, evaluating that talent, and then bringing in guys that are not sexy, that through the public can face a lot of criticism. But you got to be steadfast in your confidence knowing that, all right, Remmers and Reef, Easton, Elfline, and then Joe Berger. Those are the guys that I think fit the mold of what I'm trying to do. And then they go out, and I know Dalvin Cook is no longer part of the equation, but I think his presence and his ability to show Jarek how to run this offense, I think, was immense. And I think that's something that we really can't measure, but I think it had a big part in how well Jarek's running. It sort of showed the blueprint for any running back in that running back room that this is how to be successful in the zone cutback. And his play calling has been spectacular. Of course, Thielen's been spectacular. Diggs, when he's healthy, is out there and he's a force. They're calling the right sort of boots to tight ends at the right time. I mean, they're getting David Morgan involved. They're not afraid to spread the ball around and not focus on one guy. So I think that's that, along with everything that you said and laid out, is also true. I don't think that anybody gave this offense any sort of credit because we didn't know. We didn't know what Case was going to do. We didn't know what Sam was going to do. We didn't know how the whole offensive line was going to mix together. And so that's just the fun of sort of speculating, and then you don't mind being wrong.
And by the way, let's add to the preseason offensive line confusion the fact that they, at the last second, of course, let go of their big money guy from last year,
exactly.
Alex Boone. So that's even chaotic. Whether it was the right move or not, and clearly it was. We can already do hindsight and go,
sure.
In the locker room, he was the wrong guy. On that line, looks like he was the wrong guy. Looked like it was a waste of money. And you can rip Spielman for giving him too much money a year ago and saying you picked the wrong guy. But it's even worse to not admit your mistake and move on, which he did.
Correct.
We got to move on. This isn't working. So you add all of that preseason confusion and question marks with Reef, question marks with Remmers, question mark with Elfline, Alex Boone, and you're going, man, 9 games in, this, I don't even know what you would grade them under an A. This has to be an A- or A, if not. I mean, this is the reason they're 7-2 is the offensive line.
Right.
For everything you're just referring to. I mean, if you take a great quarterback and give them a bad offensive line, maybe like a Russell Wilson, you're running for your life. If you give a backup quarterback a bad offensive line, it's over, right? Yeah. You're going to get slaughtered. They're giving Case tons of time. Well, there was one game, I think, and I forget, maybe it was Pittsburgh, one game where Case seemed to be rushed the entire game.
Yeah.
But that was about it.
And that was sort of...
on him a little bit, too?
I'll let that one go, because that was the second game of the season, right?
Right. That was his first start.
Yeah, they didn't make the call publicly, at least until Friday.
So I think there's a lot of built-in excuses of why that wasn't a fluid situation. They weren't
may have been
better.
The only one.
You're right. And I think I'm even more surprised by Case's mobility. Not so much that he's Mike Vick out there, but the way that he can slide around the pocket and feel pressure and get out of trouble when there is trouble, it has been great. I mean, that pass he had to Thielen yesterday, running, you know, moving to his left, which is not easy for a right-handed quarterback, you know, barely setting his feet and then lofting the ball. You know, it wasn't perfect. I mean, Thielen had to make an unbelievable, you know, body adjustment to track that ball. But you gave your receiver a chance, only your receiver a chance. Didn't give any defenders a chance on that throw. Now, a few plays later, he chucked it up again and got picked off. But he's showing a lot of things that I think are just surprising to a lot of people.
And Riley Reiff yet to give up a sack. That was one of those guys where Corey said it, when we signed them, we were like, what are they doing? They missed out on the guy from San Diego. There was a different guy, and then they signed him, and we're like, oh, boy. They just gave a bunch of money to him because he was the only option.
Right, it felt like a panic signing.
It felt like with Laquon Treadwell when they drafted him. Now, he hasn't given up a sack. How many left tackles have yet to give up a sack? And we saw how powerful your starting left tackle is in that Dallas game. That Claiborne found one thing that I don't remember the guy's name who played for Dallas. He left his hands down low. He had 6 sacks.
Yeah.
That shows the power of a great left tackle. Plus, they threw at Josh Norman yesterday, which I thought was cool. That's really all I have.
Professor Lupin.
Was that his name?
Yep.
Oh. Hmm. Yeah, well, he was terrible.
What's he? Terrible.
Yeah, he was awful. And you know what? I would say in his defense, not of his play, but of his personality and his character, he faced the damn media after that game.
I think his name is Gonzo something.
Yeah, Gonzo the Cookie Monster.
Gonzo Cookie Monster? I didn't know he still played.
What is Gonzo? Is he just an alien?
He's out of here.
Don't answer that, Paul.
I don't think it. I think they're all. I mean, they're all. If that's the case, they're all aliens.
Well, but I mean, Kermit's a frog. Miss Piggy is a pig.
Well, not Gonzo.
Fozzie is a bear.
Chaz Green. And
Rolf's a dog.
Well, what's Beaker?
A Muppet?
I don't know.
A person.
Hockey does a great Beaker impression.
But I mean, is Gonzo supposed to be an alien? What is he? I don't know what he is.
Google him.
I think he is. My guess is he's not supposed to. He's a Muppet from another planet. You know.
I saw that thing.
Just when you tell. Right. Me and Saucy, right. the Loch Ness Monster is impossible.
Right.
Something like this swims out of the depths of the ocean and right. is circling around Portugal.
The hell is that?
What is that?
Exactly right.
Right.
It is a prehistoric dinosaur-era shark with insane teeth found swimming off the coast of Portugal.
Dude, the That's ocean awesome. Is the scariest thing on the
well,
planet.
It's enormous. Duh.
Right. Look at that thing. Twist that over here again.
The rare frilled shark is considered to be a living fossil because evidence of its existence dates back at least 80 million years.
That's not possible. What? The Earth's only 6,000 years old.
Jeez! That thing's terrifying.
Cheese?
Cheese.
I love cheese. String cheese is elite.
Cheese. I just
Pepper
love
jack
cheese.
Whales. Oh, so good.
This summer, researchers found one alive and thriving off the coast of Portugal.
That's badass.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, this thing's terrifying.
Yeah, that's why, again, the great Richard Oaknick once said about going into the ocean, because it's the shark's territory. That's not our turf, that's theirs, right?
Right.
If there were dinosaurs outside, we wouldn't go play baseball.
Well, this one is outside, and it's been around literally since the times of the T-Rex and the Triceratops.
Dude, this thing's terrifying.
The creature known by scientists as Chlamydia anginensis.
Yep, your sister has
You're
that.
Making that up.
No, look. It's
the translation is Chlamydia engine.
It's Chlamydia.
Which they couldn't get started on the tarmac yesterday in Washington.
Yep.
Its higher classification is the Chlamydiosa chaos.
Is incredibly simple and unevolved, most likely due to the lack of nutrients found in the deep sea dwellings. A Japanese study of the shark found in Suruga Bay, Japan, revealed that its diet is 61% cephalopods.
Mm.
Yeah.
What are those?
Squids, I think.
I mean, come on, dude. Mix it up. You can't eat the same thing every day for 60 million years. What a douche. That, honestly, that looks... you just showing me a picture. That looks like Morla, the ancient one from Neverending Story.
Yeah.
Right?
We do
Look
not
at.
Even care.
That's the worst Morla That's impression so ever.
I couldn't
okay.
remember,
what
Chubbsy.
What was that?
That was just the coach from Major League telling...
got a guy on a set of white walls.
Telling Atreyu to run.
It's also very, very
horny,
phallic.
Again, I was okay. thinking the same.
But
right, thank you, Ben. See,
everything's phallic.
I'm not weird.
I'm also just convinced Paul has never seen a penis.
This thing looks like a penis.
Based on your sketches,
no,
would
not,
you
not
stop
the one
with your dirtiness.
The one
over
he
there?
Showed us first, that one looked more like, yeah.
Okay, fun.
This show's ridiculous, and it returns right after this with Ben Lieber and the rest of the Power Trip Morning Show right here on The Fan.
Head on over to KFAN.com, and you can win tickets to the 2017 St. Paul Ice Fishing and Winter Sports Show at the St. Paul River Center, December 1st through the 3rd. KFAN.com, keyword contest.
I get the message, by the way, guys.
What message?
None of you want to hear my fart. And
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yes,
and you completely
I do.
Skipped it. And I understand
forgot.
Why. And I'm sorry
no,
that I'm childish.
I want to hear it.
I apologize. No, I know. I'm not going to play it. I get the message.
I'll pay you money to play it.
I'll play it for you off the air because Corey's embarrassed.
No. How can he be? He hasn't heard it.
Go for it.
Is it better than the one we heard?
I don't. Yes. Maybe. I don't know.
Boy.
Perhaps. Perchance.
Look, you can do whatever you want. The Power Trip Morning Show does whatever we want. Remember, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we got back from London. We felt super guilty because we're nice guys.
Yeah.
And we said, look, we can't be the only ones going
on
vacations. I'm willing to do it.
Okay. All right.
We can't be the only one going on vacations. Remember, what did we do? We walked down to Abbott's office and said, Chad.
Yep.
We're going to go to Vegas in March, of course. We might go somewhere again next fall,
probably.
Wherever the hell we want.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to throw somebody else a bone here.
We're such good dudes.
Oh, God.
And remember, Sauce, remember you said...
What are you doing?
Remember what you said? You said, you know what would be a great bit? is if we sent Barrero to Hawaii.
This is like when Muppet jumps on people. Stop that. Please stop.
And then we basically twisted Chad's arm and said, get it done. Or, you know, we quit.
Or we're not going anywhere else.
Right. Don't do that. And now, point is, that was a long-winded way of saying, we do whatever we want. Go ahead and play a fart sound effect.
Ben?
Yeah.
Go for it. No one cares.
I legitimately want to know if you guys find this funny or not, okay? Because I was sitting in the production studio.
This is yesterday? Or excuse me, Friday?
This was in September.
This is in September. Why did you, quote, sit on it for a couple of months?
I forgot about it. And I was sitting there doing a commercial, and I did the one cheek sneak. And I was recording, and so I listened back, and I thought it was the most perfect fart sound I've ever heard. It literally sounds like I made it up. You're going to think to yourself, this is not real. There's no way it's real.
It's like Rudy's dad walking into the stadium for the first time.
Right. And tell me this doesn't make you laugh. Now I want you guys to try not to laugh, or just let yourself laugh if you want, okay? And I apologize to everybody who's a grown-up. Here we go. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you are. In 3, 2, Houston, we're ready for liftoff. Batten down the hatches. Cover your eyes. Put on goggles. Here we go.
One more time.
Oh, I thought there was going to be more context. Yeah, I thought you were going to be doing a spot.
Yeah, welcome back to Purple Friday Final.
And you would stop and then fart. I didn't know it would just be only the sound effect.
No, I edited out the...
The actual commercial.
I trimmed the fat.
Or are you gagging?
Just tell me that's not the most perfect sound.
Play it again.
Fart.
I didn't hear it.
Honestly, I don't know if I should play it again.
Of course.
I feel like Ben.
Please do.
Of course. Like Ben's offended.
According to Corey, we sent Barrero to Hawaii.
Well, we did.
I'm gonna yell that about that.
In honor of Hawaii. You're welcome.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's a perfect
That's great.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect. It's perfect. It's perfect.
It's bassy.
All right, guys. I'm not going to compare your fart directly to the film Gravity, but I feel like I'm the only one that doesn't like this.
Yeah. You don't like that?
I just don't think it's perfect. I'm debating the quality of it.
Why?
You're making it sound like it's the greatest one that's ever been delivered. To me, that's a very standard... Middle of the
road.
Well,
that's what I mean.
I think
it's like a classic. That's exactly right.
Okay, I thought
it's the best
like
example.
If I were going to play a fart for an alien life form.
Got it. Like a gonzo.
Right.
I thought you were claiming you were breaking new ground.
I'm sorry,
like,
no.
No.
Chuck, no. No.
Chuck, this is your cousin. Marvin Berry.
No, the best fart that's ever been on this station, I think, has been deleted.
Yeah.
That was the greatest fart of all time.
I found this to be fascinating. It was natural.
I think it's great.
It was like, you know, in its natural habitat. It's like hearing a bird sing in the woods, and you're like the first person to ever record it.
And somewhere your dad heard that, and he's super confused.
That's gross.
Anything that would be longer or greasier would have been gross.
Right, agreed.
That's just like, oh, you got something wrong with your life. That's gross.
Agreed.
Right.
That was just pure air.
Thank you.
Third time's a charm.
I won't play it again.
Please.
I'll delete the file from here on out.
No,
play it one more time. Don't ever delete it, but show me where it is.
Hold on. I just got a call from the Museum of Radio History. They would like, Smithsonian wants a copy of this because they find it to be the most perfect example of a fart, human fart.
I just picture people listening or doing what happens when they see the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park for the first time. They're all mesmerized by it.
I want to give people a moment to hold their phones up to their speakers so they can record it. So they can have it on their phones.
And turn it up. Turn it up in your car.
This will also be podcastable.
Yeah, we can podcast.
This is the loudest I can turn it up. But don't distort the speakers. Don't turn it up too loud.
Yeah.
Don't straddle them either like this is Howard Stern's private parts.
Brilliant.
This radio segment is not brilliant.
This is going to get me yelled at.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Well, this is your fault.
You guys won't get yelled at.
You're right.
I'm going to get yelled at for you saying, don't, Mita, shut up. Don't talk over it. Play it again, please.
Nope, I'm not one playing anymore. I'm not doing it anymore.
Play it again. Play it again.
Our guest wants to hear it.
No, I want to hear it in its purity. Everybody
play it one more time because then I have a jumping off point. I have a story to tell you from last Thursday.
Is it the window right there?
No, it's a 60-second story, but go ahead.
Oh, I can't wait to hear your story now.
And this is a perfect example of what she was talking about. Go ahead.
All right. Sir Alec Guinness, get your world record book out. Here we go.
So Parrish and I are at that bit last Thursday at Willie McCoy's,
right?
Doing hockey trivia.
Right.
And a gal walks up to me.
And she farted?
Nope, it was the opposite.
Oh.
Her introduction to me, not, hey, you know, hey, nice to meet you, or hey, blah, blah. She walks right up to me and without introducing herself says, which one of the adolescents are you?
Ooh.
And I said, oh, you listen. She goes, absolutely not, but my husband does.
Oh.
And she proceeds to tell me that she listens to another show. And I said, go for it. Good luck to you. That's fine. And she was very nice. We had a little conversation.
Fine, sure. Oh, seems like it.
And she said, but I said, I'm Corey. She goes, now, which one are you then? I go, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You've already made up.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just tell your husband thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And she goes, so what are you guys now, in sixth grade or seventh grade? I'm like, I don't know. I go, does it matter? They're both middle school. Who cares?
Well, and I'm sure that the show that she listens to isn't full of gossip and, trashy.
Just out of curiosity, did you meet her husband, or was he hanging himself in the bathroom?
No, he's out on the road in a progressive rock band.
Oh.
Like Tool, but worse.
Oh!
Because everybody's worse than Tool. But anyway, so her and I start talking, because I couldn't get her to stop talking.
Oh.
Then a very, very strange thing happened, and Laura and Jack, a couple of our...
you guys started making out.
No.
Oh, I've heard this story.
Oh, you've already heard this?
I heard this on Friday
right.
at Sleep Number.
It's worth retelling,
okay.
So I'm going to tell it quickly.
Good.
So... I don't want to say I couldn't shake her, but she clearly had a lot to say, and I was willing to listen because she was a very fascinating, weird kind of gal. And I thought the conversation was over. So Parrish and again Jack and Laura, who work here as well, and I were all standing there, and there's a couple of Coors Light gals, and we're all sitting at the table. And then she was about to be picked up by her husband, who was done with band practice. So she starts walking towards the door, a packed Willie McCoy's in Bloomington.
Ooh.
She stops. I watched her walk out. She stops on a dime and turns around halfway to the door. And she starts coming back. I'm like,
oh, God.
I said, she's not done, apparently. Apropos of nothing. Complete non sequitur. One of the weirdest transitions of all time. And it's going to sound like I'm making up how she said this. This is almost exactly how she said it. She comes storming back. This is, by the way, after talking about her husband's band. So again, the transition from the band to this is part of the reason why it was shocking.
Oh, please get
comes
that.
Walking
wait.
Back, puts her hand on the table and just goes, so my daughter's bisexual, and she is with a guy now, but she used to be into girls, and now she's kind of still into girls, and she really, what she wants to do, though, is she wants to find a guy permanently... who wants a gal, too. But the gal just can't be just to, like, sleep with. Her exact words were, she wants a gal who's thriving.
Oh.
And then she made a hand motion like a chart, like trending
right.
upwards. And all of us are looking at each other going, did somebody bring up bisexuality? Like, she just had to tell the whole table... My daughter's bisexual, and she's looking for a gal as a side piece.
Hmm.
And after she left, which was about 5 minutes later.
A successful side piece.
Right.
Yes.
Or at least trending towards success.
Okay, right.
But then after she left, which was another 5 minutes, because we talked about her bisexual daughter for about 5 minutes straight.
Lucky.
We had a lot of questions. The whole table's theory, I think, was probably right, was she fishing? Because there were a couple of Coors Light gals.
Oh.
And there was Laura, who works with us. There were a couple of gals. I'm like, was she basically... Craigslisting this table? Was she auditioning to be her daughter's side piece?
Which is bizarre because
exist.
She basically just ridiculed you and insulted you guys and for your
she doesn't
lack
like
of
our
maturity.
Show.
She listens every
correct.
Day.
And yeah, she's listening right now and
of
it's been right. The lack of maturity it takes to just blurt that out about something that
very
isn't
strange.
That isn't
yes,
your
very
business.
True.
I get it's your daughter. That's not your business to blurt out.
And it wasn't, hey, do you have kids? You know, what are they up to? What are they like? It was just,
All right, my husband's here. I gotta go.
Cool.
Halfway to the door.
She large Marge?
On a dime.
That's weird.
Had to come back and announce to the entire table.
I guarantee you.
So my daughter's bisexual. I'm like, okay.
Sweet.
Nice to meet you as well. Yes, Paul, your hands up.
This lady. Would he?
Chris?
Yeah.
100%.
Okay.
Oh.
Cool.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't like people that walk up to you and insult you.
Then how do you ever go outside?
I don't. I left
I mean,
my.
For real.
Why do you go on social media?
I literally left my place twice this weekend, and once was to come to work. I don't like going in public anymore.
Help me make it through.
Duck Quacko.
That guy.
Whatever
it was.
Vikings news. When the Power Trip Morning Show returns, we'll get Ben's take on that 38-30 win over Washington. The Vikings are 7-2 and have a big showdown with the Rams on Sunday. Back after this.
Your shot at $1,000 now. Text the keyword LOCK to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's LOCK to 200-200.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
Are you going to join Corey Cove and Mark Ferris this Thursday for hockey at Willie McCoy's in Chaska from 7 to 9 p.m.?
You almost have to after what I just told you.
Absolutely. I almost have to now.
If you're not, you can find all, or if you are, you can find all the upcoming Coors Light NHL events, KFN.com, keyword hockey.
Those are fun bits anyway.
Yeah, man, so much fun. I love Lara. Hey,
Lakes Area Recreation Association? Like 200 people get that joke, and they're not listening. That was like my youth sports league.
How was it?
Up in Chisago Lakes.
Speaking of sports leagues, we're going to talk Vikings news in a minute. Hey, Ben?
Yeah.
On Sunday, the NFL deemed a report from ESPN nonsense amid claims that Commissioner Roger Goodell is seeking $49.5 million annually.
Jesus.
Lifetime use of a private jet. And lifetime health insurance for his family as part of his next contract.
Mm-hmm.
Seems, I mean, that's, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Those things don't just come out of thin air.
Ben, your thoughts?
Nobody in this town reports.
Do we have time in the show?
Yes.
I mean, I don't,
Ben's buttons
I don't need to get on a soapbox about this. I think we're all in the same, but whether you play it or not, this is just ridiculous. It's ridiculous that the commissioner of any league should make $50 million, have use of a, I don't know, I'm going to guess $30 million jet for the rest of his life, and then get lifetime health insurance when his own damn players who put their bodies on the line don't even get lifetime health insurance. I mean, the irony and the BS nature of all this is really just hard to even comprehend, honestly. Like, I have a hard time even digesting that this is what this guy is requesting from the ownership. You know, I'm not following everything with Jerry Jones and his sort of boycott of all things Roger Goodell, but it's interesting. And it sounds like it's going to get very messy. There's other owners that now want to sort of disbar Jerry Jones from his ownership of the Cowboys because he's like toxic and it's going to get ugly. And I'm kind of glad because those guys have been living fat and happy for years. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not all just pro worker that these guys are that they're evil and they're the devil. Like, listen, they're very successful businessmen that earn the right to buy these billion-dollar franchises. I just think that, in the end, just do the right thing. The doing the right thing mantra just gets lost in all this, and it's all about the damn money. And if he gets lifetime health insurance, I don't even know what I would do. I mean, I don't even know how I could respond to that because it's a slap in the damn face. And it is a gigantic middle finger to every current and former player that has played in the NFL.
It's like a dollar an hour.
Can I ask the obvious question? Let's take the 49.5 into effect here, $49.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that buy you lifetime health insurance?
Yes,
why would you ask for the stipulation Because like you said, it's almost a direct middle finger to the players. Why wouldn't you just say, I have $50 million.
Why do you care?
I can afford health insurance for my family.
You could have the best health insurance that money could buy. Literally money could buy. And it'd be a drop in the bucket for what you make on a yearly salary. And why does that matter? Like, why does all of a sudden, like, the... Is it because he understands how complicated it can be to get your own health insurance? I don't know. Like, why would you request that?
There's people in this building
it's like
that
saying,
can
I have a free? I want a free bike.
I even know how to do it.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to.
Yeah, you can. You can make fun of me. That's all you guys do.
Paul can figure out how to
I
get
did
his
it
own
on
health
Friday
insurance.
Without Abbott's help.
I don't think I can. But, I digress on that. Do you know, Ben, by any chance, what he makes now in his current contract?
I thought it was like close to 30.
Well, it changes every year, right?
But
it's based
like
on a couple of things,
stuff,
right? So it's been in the 30s. I think maybe even scraped 40 once or something. But yeah, he's making $35, $40 million a year.
May I ask, and this is me asking you an honest question, Ben. Why can't they find somebody to do it for the astronomical amount of $5 million a year? You know what I mean? What is it that Roger Goodell has that anybody else in that could possibly be in that position doesn't have?
Because he's looking at percentages probably. So he's thinking, well, if the NFL is worth this amount of money, then mm-hmm. I as commissioner should be worth a percentage of this amount of money. And I don't know what all these CEOs of these other Fortune 100 companies make, and I'm sure they probably... I'm guessing that they make something similar, and maybe that's where he's basing his requests off of.
Yeah, maybe so.
Is hey, look at the Coke industry guys, or look at ExxonMobil. Like these guys are making, you know, $30, $40, $50 million a year running their business. So maybe that's where he's getting the number. I just think you're running a sports league that pretty much runs itself.
Yeah,
and you're actually the one that's getting in the way of a lot of revenue right now.
Right.
So why you're actually a detriment to the NFL right now, and now you're asking for more money? On what grounds?
Well, since becoming the commissioner in 2006, he's made $212 million.
Which, and again, regardless of that,
salary.
Ben, and I wondered when I was saving this story from when you came in, if the thing that would stick in your craw the most had less to do with the dollar figure than the lifetime health insurance.
100%.
Isn't that just kicking sand in people's faces?
100%.
Isn't it?
Yep.
What a move.
Yeah.
It's a D-bag move.
It is.
Just ask for more money to pay for your health insurance.
It is.
And that's why, and Corey's right. If you're making $50 million, why does it matter? And that's why I feel like it's an absolute insult. To everything
it
that
has to be,
and to everything that we've ever fought for as players, and guys the guys, especially back in the day, not even the guys that are current. Like, I'll take myself out of it, right? I can afford my own health insurance at this point, and we have vehicles set up to where we have our health reimbursement accounts that got negotiated in. So there's even a fund of money that we can draw from to pay for our health insurance. But the guys that formed this league, that formed the foundation of this league, that weren't making these TV contract money, this money, at least give them, maybe not their whole family and their siblings, which, you know, for a lot of these guys, their kids are out of the house anyway. Why can't these guys get lifetime health insurance? It's not going to cost that much money. Give these guys, these older guys that really need it, that literally laid their body on the line when we had less equipment. The training staff, their protocol for any injury was ice and elevation. That was it. They had no modalities. They didn't have the fancy injections that we have now. They didn't have the fancy doctors. They had athletic tape and ice and something to put their legs on to elevate them. That's it. And they were told to get back out there and go wreck your body to go make more money to form this league and to entertain people. Take care of those guys.
Yeah, can't disagree. Obviously, you know what you're talking about there. But I'll defend Goodell on the asking for 50 mil. Because, and back to your question, Chris, about like, couldn't we find somebody to do this for 5 million? Of course, but they'd be less qualified.
Would they? That's the question
yes,
I had.
Yes, because here's why. You're talking about a guy who is facilitating billion-dollar stadium deals, right? It helps push those deals. Multi-million dollar advertising contracts. There's so much money on the line. If you there are guys, like Ben just said, that run major companies. They're not making $80,000 a year, right? They're not making $140,000 a year. They're making millions because they're dealing with billions. You have to pay somebody to run it. If you hate this specific guy, that's a totally different topic of conversation. The commissioner of the NFL should be making tens of millions of dollars. Whether it's 10, 20, 30, 40, that's debatable as well. But to say, let's just find a guy to do this for $2 million a year, that's absolutely impossible.
Well, and this is the one thing, sorry, real quick, is being around some of the negotiations and stuff, he is, and the NFL offices are, and really, I mean, same with the NFLPA, surrounded by support staff and lawyers. They pay so much money in lawyers, it's ridiculous. So, yes, does he have to have some gusto and some balls to go into to rooms and negotiate some of the big contracts? Yes. He's not doing the dirty work, though. He's paying lawyers to do the dirty work. So I don't know. I don't think it takes somebody that knows what they're doing, for sure. It takes a smart individual, for sure. But I don't think it takes as much as you think it takes.
The United Healthcare CEO made $66 million last year. These people run these massive companies. They're compensated for it.
Sure.
Right. And that's why I think that he's probably just looking at comparable revenue businesses, which the NFL is, as a major corporation, and how it stacks up against the Fortune 100 companies or Fortune 50 companies, and says, well, if these guys are making this much money, why can't I make
right?
This
and
much
let's flip
money?
It. That guy you just referenced, guy or gal from United Healthcare, could we find somebody to do it for $7 million?
You could,
of course,
sure.
You could.
Yeah, of course,
sure.
But
you
there's
could
a
find
reason why
do it for $150,000.
Right, but that's there's a reason why that specific person is in charge. Now, if that person is incompetent, again, if we hate Rick Goodell, if the owners are like, you know, look, we don't need to pay you 50. You're overpaid. You're good, but you're not great. We can find somebody better. And as a first-time commissioner, maybe they'll take $30 million instead of 50. Then that's up to them. That they don't like this specific guy. But yeah, the NFL commissioner should absolutely be making a ton of money. There's just so much at stake. So many billions of dollars at stake. Somebody has to be the runner. Somebody has to be the showrunner to this show. This multi-billion-dollar television industry that the NFL has become, essentially.
And the other thing is, aside from the money, why, let's say in 15 or 20 years, because he has access to a private jet right now. That's part of his contract. When he travels for business, NFL business, he travels on a private jet. So let's just say in 20 years when he's done, if you're gonna forecast this money out in 20 years, either A, buy your own damn jet, or just use a jet share service that a lot of other celebrities and high and income people do, and just do it that way. Why do you need to have
Uber Air is supposed to be out in like 3 years.
Right.
Right? Just take an Uber, Raj.
What's the
jet? Gotta get a break, brother. Sorry.
Jets harder.
Yeah, jets harder.
After the break, we're going to get to the Fan 5, where we'll actually talk about the Vikings win, including a conversation a little later with Brian Robinson. And I have a bunch of stuff to give away. That's your Lexus lineup brought to you by Lexus of Maplewood, Lexus of Wayzata. And let's start that giveaway right now. 651-989-5326. Call in for a $100 gift card to Randall's. You can hang out with Saucy to watch Monday Night Football.
Fan 5's next. Power to your morning show, the fan.
Thank you, Radco. Sorry we didn't do Vikings just yet. We'll do next.
Join KFAN and the Minnesota Vikings at Mills Fleet Farm in Lakeville as we broadcast live all day December 12th, collecting toys for tots presented by CenturyLink. Details, KFAN.com, keyword toys.
Good morning, everybody. If you're seeing the wonderful footage of Teddy Bridgewater shedding a few tears during the national anthem, after the national anthem, and you see one of my favorite guys in purple, David Morgan, scanning the skies,
it's
like
the best.
It I feel bad for him, but it's because there was a flyover and he was trying to find where the choppers were coming from. So I know what he was doing, but he does look kind of ridiculous.
Looks confused?
Yeah, well, yeah, he's looking back and forth to the sky. And behind, and it's terrible for him because Teddy's right behind him crying. He has no idea. And every camera, every person in America is watching Teddy and going, oh Teddy. But they're also seeing David Morgan going, which way did he go? Which way did he go? It's pretty funny.
He's just got his long hair flopping back and forth. Yeah, right. And he looks confused. He's like, looking up at the sky.
I did like, again, that the Vikings did leapfrog right after the Thielen touchdown. Yep. Mm-hmm. Big choreographed bit. Okay, we get it. A bunch of kids' games, right? We've seen hide-and-seek with the Steelers. We've seen...
What's the other one they did?
Earlier in the year, they did
Duck Quack or whatever it was.
Yeah, they did that bit.
Duck Quack.
But then it's funny. All these choreographed bits. And then David Morgan scores, and it's like a newborn trying to walk. Right? It's, what do I do?
It was an epic slam, though.
He looked very...
It was a great spike.
Do I celebrate? What do we do? Just do whatever you want.
Right.
You guys? Spike it. Yeah, it's all by himself. Nobody to do a big choreographed river dance with. Just, I guess I'm going to spike it. Good for you, David. Good for you.
Love that guy.
First career touchdown for David Morgan. We also had Mackenzie Alexander's first career interception.
On his birthday.
And as the Vikings noted at halftime, one of those bits where he didn't get thrown at a lot at Clemson, he did not have a collegiate interception. So that was his first interception since high school.
Wow. I didn't see that at all.
I thought the best celebration of the whole year was, and I'm not, I don't even know who did it. I think the Steelers did it. Who did it where they mocked A.J. Green?
Oh, yeah, the Steelers. Le'Veon Bell and Juju.
Yeah. When they reenacted the behind the choke. The A.J. Green.
Oh, did he?
The A.J. Green and Jalen Ramsey fight.
Oh, I didn't see it. That sounds awesome.
I didn't
awesome.
See that either.
But here's the thing, and I get it. You celebrate. I get it. They were down by like 17 when they did that.
Were they really?
Just hand the ball back. Yeah. Oh. You're down 17.
They were just antsy to get that celebration up before somebody else did.
Well, how about the Canadian team that did the limbo?
Yeah, that was good.
That's
brilliant. That was good.
Yeah.
And how about the league picking on Vontaze Burfict? Did you guys see that?
No. What are you talking about?
I thought.
So he got
threw him out.
He got ejected from the game because he made contact with the official. But if you watch the video, I don't know how you don't have a conspiracy against this guy just to wait for one thing that he does to throw him out of a game.
No kidding.
It was a scuffle on the sidelines, which I'm not even sure who started the scuffle or whatever.
Probably Jameis Winston.
Yeah. And the ref actually put his left arm in front of Vontaze across his shoulder, across his chest to hold him back. And Vontaze was like jaw-jacking at guys. I don't think he even realized like whose arm it was in front of him. And he kind of just like shoved it, like pushed it down. And the guy immediately throws the flag and goes, "You're out of here!
Don't touch my arm."
I'm like, what?
It's aggressive.
Yeah, it's crazy. He has brought on a lot of stuff on himself, but... Mm. He got ejected for no reason.
Can't we just get back to the classic touchdown celebrations like...
Duck Quack or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go real heavy Vikings because we didn't do it during Vikings.
Yeah, let's get heavy.
Let's get heavy. Okay. Ben. Question and or comment. Case Keenum. Your thoughts. Inside jokes are the best.
Really good.
He's, I think he's obviously exceeded everybody's expectations. You see the way he carries himself on the sidelines. He's very focused before the game. Has a great demeanor. But the way that the guys respond to him on the sidelines is to me genuine. His excitement is genuine. I think his leadership ability is right there where it needs to be. And his performance has been great. I don't know what else to say about the guy other than that he's playing like definitely like a top 10 starting quarterback in this league. And there's no reason, and there should be no debate, especially after yesterday coming off a bye week, about who should be the quarterback of this team going forward. And if he falters for 2 or 3 weeks, especially in crunch time and as the playoffs get closer, yeah, I think we could entertain the conversation of what Teddy could do to spark this team. But I just don't see a major drop-off like that where it's going to be a 4-interception game for 120 yards and all of a sudden now he just doesn't understand how to run the offense. I think he's only just going to get better. And I'm not saying that he's going to get better as far as his yards per game are going to go up, but I think the way he handles this offense – and how efficient he can run this offense down the field and pick up first downs, I don't think that's ever going to go away. That's just going to get better.
A follow-up question to my non-question. Were you concerned by the 2 interceptions? What happened there?
No, I was not. You know, the first one, to me, it just looked like he was definitely feeling himself. Like, he felt like he was in a zone.
A little overconfident.
A little overconfident. And I think that's the humbling thing about the game is, man, you could, just like McKenzie, you know, he gets an interception feeling good about himself, but guess what? You got more snaps. You know, you can't rely on that one good play to think that you're going to make another good play. You still have to go through the process of getting yourself in the position to make those plays. So I think he was just overconfident. He was trying to make plays and just throw it up just like he did to Thielen, thinking that somebody would come down with it, and the wrong guy came down with it. The second one, you know, there was a defensive change for the Redskins. They had been getting crushed in man-to-man defense. That's their MO. They are man cover team. They have two really good corners that they trust, and a lot of times they just try to lock down receivers. Well, Diggs and Thielen were eating those guys as lunches. So they made a change in the second half in critical situations to play a little bit more zone, and I think that he just wasn't expecting a buzz defender to get underneath that route on the outside, and he made a wrong read. And it was a defensive adjustment. Got a little dicey there at the end, especially just, you know, they were creeping back, and he was, you know, made some mistakes and whatever. But in the end, you know, teams are going to make adjustments. You know, players are going to make mistakes. Overall, he's playing fantastic.
Why is it never brought up that he, being Case Keenum, can be the quarterback for next season? Why is it, you know, it's Kirk Cousins, it's this guy, it's this guy, it's this guy. His name's never really brought up to be a 4 to 5 year starter on this squad.
Historical perspective. You know, it's different when it's a guy like Dak and he comes in off the bench and you have no expectations and you have no history. You haven't seen him in an NFL uniform, and all of a sudden now he's way better than expected. I think because Case has bounced around the league and he's been a journeyman a little bit, and he's been a backup quarterback, and you obviously and a lot of times just get slotted into, this is who you are and this is all you can do. People start putting limitations on players, and this happens in daily life. Like, oh, that's all you can do. We've already made the judgment, and you're self-limited to this, and that's all the further you can go, and you forget that guys can still progress and get better. And maybe you can find the right system, which it seems like he's found the right system to suit his traits.
Trick question for you, because I don't know if there's a right answer. How do they decide whose game it's going to be between Latavius Murray and McKinnon? Now, three of us are very excited that yesterday they leaned on Murray, Chris being the one that probably is a little frustrated at McKinnon.
A little frustrated there.
But this team does not have a number one back. Forget what the depth chart says.
Yeah.
I just somehow, it's just very, it's almost like they flip a coin. I assume it's based on the defense that they're facing, but one game's Murray's, the next game's McKinnon's. The next quarter is Murray's, then the next quarter is McKinnon's. It's just, I don't know how they decide, or Shurmur decides, which back's getting the ball.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with how the defense is going to play. And if they think that there's a weakness on the perimeter and some of the cutback stuff, let's say that their defensive ends and their outside linebackers just, they overflow a lot, and you feel like there's a better situation to hit the cutback. Well, then I think you go with Jarek. If they have problems front side and you feel like your offensive line can beat the defensive line and sort of get on the linebackers and not ask your running backs to cut too much, then I think you lean on Latavius. So I think it has a lot to do with what the defense they're playing, and you know, I think there's obviously a little bit of a contract situation too with Latavius, that you just have to feed the guy a little bit and see if you can get some money out of your performance, out of your investment as well.
On a neutral site, Rams, Vikings, who's favorite?
On a neutral site?
Rams. The Vikings are 2.5-point favorite, so on a neutral site it'd be the Rams.
Well, there you go. Hmm. Yeah, I guess so.
Ben to say it, I didn't want a smart ass answer.
Well, it's just the answer.
Hey, Ben?
Mm-hmm.
Are you continuously astounded by how good Adam Thielen is, especially when he's, to use your words, pissed off?
I shouldn't be anymore.
I know, but you get my point, right?
Yeah, I get your point. Yeah, I think that sometimes, at least for me, sometimes it's hard to gain that perspective when you're in it. Like, you're really watching for lack of a better term, greatness, and you think that, oh, this guy is not just good on your team, but he's actually one of the best overall in the NFL. You know, I've had sort of those late realizations, you know, even playing with guys like Steve Hutchinson and, you know, possibly Jared Allen. Like, when you're in it, you just think of them as good players and good teammates. And, of course, you know, they're all pros. But you don't think about, I'm actually playing with a Hall of Famer. Like, they never, I didn't really think about that at the time. Not that it would change anything, but I think that just gives you my sort of where I am mentally. When you take a step back and look at what Adam's doing, I mean, he's one of the best in the NFL overall. And I think that is a little shocking still, because we all of us in here have watched him, you know, come up through the ranks and work his butt off and make plays in practice and hear all the coaches sort of like, watch out for this guy, watch out for this guy. Like, he's beaten every corner that we have. He's killing it. And all of a sudden now it seems like, I know not in his mind, it's been a skyrocket to the top, but really for a lot of us, like, wow, he went from just down here to all the way to the top of the league. It is surprising. It shouldn't be, but it is surprising.
See, I'm going to disagree slightly, because when you work with current or future Hall of Famers, I think it's impossible to not know. Mark Rosen, current Hall of Famer. Paul Allen, future Hall of Famer. Tackle Terry Touma, future Hall of Famer. Every time I see him, shake his hand, I say, I'm amongst greatness. Good to see you, Tackle.
Well said.
Yeah. Good point.
Continental Diamond and ContinentalDiamond.com brings you Fan 5 every single 8 o'clock hour. Just 8 straight years. Best jeweler, Minnesota Bride Magazine readers, and I could not agree more. Trying to track down B-Rob after this or not?
That's right. We're going to get a hold of B-Rob after this.
And then before the end of the show, Ben, I listened to a lot of you on Fox Sports 1 over the weekend with Nebraska and the Gophers. I want to get your take on PJ Flex, second Big Ten win. But B-Rod next, right after this in the Fan.
And I have another quick giveaway. Giving away a $50 gift card and tickets to see A Perfect Circle at XL Energy Center. Thanks to our friends at CW. Watch Family Feud tonight at 6 p.m. on the CW Twin Cities. 651-989-5326. Caller number 11.
Awesome.
Experience Maui with the Bumper to Bumper Show. Book a once-in-a-lifetime package with defined destinations that includes a six-night stay, airfare, excursions, live broadcasts, and more. Limited trips available, so act fast. Details, kfan.com.
Good morning, everybody. Bradshaw and Brian bringing you this portion of the Power Trip Morning Show. Ben Lieber's in here. It's a Minnesota Vikings Monday, another win. They are rolling, as are your Minnesota Wild and our guy, Jason Zucker. Going for the record tomorrow night, is that right?
Six straight goals is one shy of the NHL record for one man scoring consecutive goals for his own team. Two goals in the loss, three goals, the only three goals in the hat trick win on what? Was that Thursday? Thursday, right? And then he had the only goal. Yep. Saturday in a 1-0 win. Mm-hmm. So six straight goals for the Wild scored by Jason Zucker. The NHL record is 7.
Oh, okay. That's my question. It was like, he ties it or breaks it?
No, one more
game.
And he ties it.
Okay, ties it.
Something called Cy Denneny in 1920/21 with the Senators, it looks like. And then Brian Noonan in 91-92 also had 7. 7 straight for your own team. So pretty crazy. Right, 6 goals in 3 games is insane, no matter what, right? That's an unbelievable streak. But to have that coincide with no one else on your team scoring during that 6-goal streak is kind of insane.
He's just faster than everybody out there. Doesn't it? I mean, sometimes it looks like that he's just skating at a different level.
And
he's very, very, very
like
good.
You're on the rookie level, and you're really good at AHL hockey.
Super, super talented. Got a little lucky on Saturday. But look, when you're running that hot, I know this in poker. Sometimes when you're playing well, you start running well. I don't know how to play well. So I don't run well. But in general,
haven't been there yet.
Right. Luck favors the prepared, right?
Yes.
I love that. I'm going to get that as my next tat.
Good luck.
They favored the prepared.
Right.
What show is this?
Hey, Ben.
It's the Power Trip Morning Show.
Your friend, my good friend, and I know your friend B Rob will be calling us right back. He's right in the middle of something, but he will be calling us right back. Played the entire game almost yesterday, and played very, very well. That's the most action I bet he's had probably in a year and a half, right?
Yeah, what, did he just get married?
Nah.
Well, Noah Everson. The last play of the game in London, he had the tweak with his foot, and 2 weeks later, it's still a problem. That was a surprise, right? That was a last-second surprise. Even though we saw it trending a little bit because he missed some time in practice, but
yeah,
we didn't really think he was going to miss the game.
Even Zimmer said that he on Friday that he expected Everson to play.
Ben and I had a conversation on the field. Because right before the game, Everson told somebody from NFL Network he was going to play.
I was so confused. I'm like, so Stacey Dales apparently talked to him personally.
Yeah, they took a picture together.
And he's like, I'm going to play. And then she tweets out that he's going to play. And then we hear that he's not going to play. We're like, what? So
Stacey, nice sources.
Yeah.
Who did you talk to that was wrong? I don't know. The guy himself.
Right.
He got it wrong. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Is this a serious problem, though? I mean, is this going to be one of those kind of things where all of a sudden he misses 4 weeks and we didn't expect it?
No, I don't think so. I think because of the waffling nature of is he going to play, is he not going to play?
How bad do you want waffles right now?
The Belgian waffling nature.
With extra
that just means that he's really close. It's just that's why it's, if it was obvious that, all right, there's no way he's playing, then I think everybody had the same story. But
got it.
At practice last week too, there, you know, when they do work on the side, an injured player, you can very clearly tell how close they are to returning.
Yeah.
He was going hard.
Right.
I mean, it was again. It was.
It's hard to rush.
It
too,
was
watching. You know what I mean?
It was one on one with the trainers on the extra field, but it wasn't. He wasn't taking it lightly. He wasn't walking gingerly. He was going crazy.
Back to waffles for a second, if
yes,
we could.
Great.
My wife claims that Eggo waffles taste like cardboard, which I adamantly disagree. I'm an Eggo fan.
Are you sure she's not eating the box?
No.
duck quack.
Duck quack. Whatever it was.
There's your State Fair T-shirt.
God, did I talk to you last Thursday?
Holy smokes, Christopher Allen.
So anyway. She claims that Eggo waffles taste like cardboard.
Completely unrelated, by the way.
25. Can we play that again?
I guess the truth is I'm not convinced. I mean, do you ever truly know? No. Point is I didn't. Maybe these are not new. They're new to me. I don't know how recently these debuted. Have you guys had the Eggo fluffy waffles?
No.
No.
That's actually incredible.
What?
Are they like frozen ones? Like
yes.
Toaster waffles?
Same size.
They come over and make them at your house.
No, they're awesome.
Mm.
And I'm like, hey, when did we start buying these? These kick ass. She goes, those other ones taste like cardboard. I'm like, no, they don't. I love Eggo. Yeah, they're awesome.
So what's the difference?
They're fluffier.
They're thick.
Yeah, thicker and fluffier.
Hogsley, will you buy me some of these?
Yeah, man, whatever you need.
They're badass.
Yesterday, they had all the waffles you can eat in the media area.
What? Where were AJ and I?
Really?
Yeah.
Why don't they do that at this?
All the waffles you could eat. The entire game, too. They kept replenishing them.
A waffle
waffles
bar?
Yeah, there's a waffle bar. Yeah.
Waffles are vastly superior to pancakes.
I would agree.
And I love pancakes.
I agree. Yeah.
Waffles
are
still six times better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
is there a difference in the ingredients?
No.
Is it the same thing? You just put it on a waffle iron or whatever?
They must be a little different.
I kind of believe they're
different.
Or is that
like a malted taste to waffles that's not in pancakes?
There's something that's different.
I'll tell you. According to this Krusty's Belgian waffle mix, it's Krusty's Belgian waffle mix, egg and oil.
So
what's
how does that
mix
answer the question that we were just talking about? Or are you just reading what you're seeing?
Yeah, crisp and golden on the outside, light and fluffy on the inside.
I was just watching the Teddy cry and David Morgan.
Poor David.
The first time.
What was that?
Hey, what were you just pointing at?
How nice it is outside. I can't move my neck, so I don't know what.
Yeah,
it's
how
like
great is this, by
did
the way?
Did you hurt your neck again?
So
yeah. He did.
He walked around with his neck tilted all day yesterday, and then Devontae Freeman got a concussion, and he was throwing stuff. He was having an awful day.
Yeah, yesterday
Sauce did not like Sunday.
Then Muppet threw up and messed everywhere before I got here.
Messed everywhere? Thanks, Grandma.
But Sauce, for the last 48 hours, has looked like he's just peeking around the corner 24 hours a day.
My neck hurts.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You look great.
That's very nice of you.
One of the stars of yesterday's game. Please stop arguing, boys. We have a guest on the phone. Brought to you by our friends at Hy-Vee, a helpful smile in every aisle. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Robinson. Hi, B-Rob.
What's going on, guys?
How you feeling today, man?
A little bit better. It always feels good after being 7-2.
Yeah, you played a lot. How many plays did you play compared to what you've been playing the rest of the season? Because you were on the field a lot yesterday.
I'm not really sure of the number, but my body tells me it was a lot more.
I bet.
I assume, though, you were prepared in case Everson didn't play, that the rotation for all of you on the defensive line would be altered.
Yeah, I mean, we practiced all week, doing different things in case he wasn't going to be there. So we were prepared either way it went. And, you know, the good thing about our defensive line group is, you know, we're all kind of interchangeable in a lot of different ways. So, it fits in good with what we do.
B-Rob, did it feel good yesterday to get into, like, a consistent rhythm, even though today it may not feel that way?
Yes, absolutely. When you start for so many years in the league, you got to make adjustments, you know, when you're coming into the game as that third guy. And so yesterday I was able kind of to have that old role where you go in there and kind of get a feel for the game and be able to go with it rather than just going out there and just kind of, you know, having to work off the cuff and what you see on film. So I was a little bit different. Got an opportunity to go out there and make some plays and was able to do that. And we were able to come out with a victory.
B-Rob, obviously you've been involved in the NFL for a long time and a lot of different bye weeks. And typically out of a bye week, teams are a little sluggish, especially offensively. But you guys weren't that yesterday at all. And not at all as a team, it seemed like you guys missed a beat. Did you guys do anything differently in this last bye week that maybe you haven't experienced in bye weeks before?
No, not really. I think the one thing that is a big credit to our football team and to our coaches is we really came back and got after it, man. I mean, we were full speed, full tilt practice, and we just really went at it as we never had a bye week. And, you know, when you go in and you come out of a bye week, sometimes you're a little sluggish. You want to try to get back into things and things like that. You test the waters, as they say. We didn't do that. This team really got after it on Monday. We had a day off on Tuesday, and then we got back to our regular work week on Wednesday, and it was full speed, full tilt.
How bad is that turf there in Washington?
You know, I mean, the grass was a little thin in the middle of the field, but it really wasn't as bad as what we thought it was going to be looking at it on film and everything. Now, I'm sure probably here in a couple weeks it's probably going to get pretty, pretty bad. But, we did see some guys slipping on tape and things like that. And there was a few times yesterday that, you know, you got stuck in the ground or something like that. But there's other places that have been much worse. I'll say that.
All right, B-Rob, I want an honest answer, and I'm not going to be insulted at all. But you and I have played together, and we've been a part of some really good defenses together. Now, everybody keeps sort of asking me, like, what's a better defense, 2009 sort of era or this defense now? And you've been a part of both. So I want to get your answer and your candid and honest answer. What do you think was a better defense, the defense you're on now or the defense that we were a part of together?
I mean, it's really tough, but, obviously, you know, once you get to the end of the season, you'll have a better idea. But if I'm looking at midpoint where we're at now, where we were back in 2009, I think this one, I really do believe that. I mean, you know, I think we probably had more sacks back in 2009 and, you know, some statistical categories that kind of stick out. But I think overall, as a whole defense, just the way this defense plays, the way we go out and grind, the way we actually see teams that, you know, they'll play one way, and then when they get to a game against us, they pretty much do things almost a total 180. I mean, it's just a different game plan that they have set up for us. That's where I kind of lean towards this defense.
B-Rob, you guys face a team this week that has put up 144 points in their last four games, probably one of the best offenses in the NFL. I know it's only Monday, but you guys, obviously, this is a huge game. Both teams 7-2, I don't need to tell you. What's the one thing you know about Jared Goff?
Well, I mean, obviously, we know he's throwing for a lot of yards. Just the highlights I see and some of the little tidbits of games that I have been able to watch from them. When he has time in the pocket, he can make deep throws, and he can make them on point where his receivers don't even have to break stride, and that's where them big plays come from. So we're definitely going to have to be clued into the passing game, but they also got Todd Gurley back there that can run the ball really well. So I think our old adage and what our game plan is every week, which is stop the run, be able to get them behind the chains, get around the quarterback and get them to the ground. That's going to be the deal this week. And, you know, this game this week definitely has some parameters that could linger on down the road. So we need to understand that every game here on out, being this late in the season, is very, very important, and this one's no different.
You know, one of the more heartfelt moments I think we've all witnessed, especially as Vikings fans and as just fans of the NFL, is the return of Teddy Bridgewater. And, you know, he's a fan favorite. I know he's a favorite as from a lot of the teammates. But, you know, just can you describe sort of the emotions that you've witnessed with your eyes watching him have a real, authentic, genuine reaction to just being part of the football team again on game day?
Yeah, I mean, that's you know, looking at that, that's pretty cool, man. I mean, you see a guy that had an injury like he had, possible career-ending injury, and to be able to work his way back, he never lost faith. He always stayed humble. He always stayed upbeat, you know, and to see him be able to come back and just have that feeling of being part of the team again, I mean, it was really special to see.
Congrats on the win, Brian, and good luck against L.A. Talk to you next week.
Thanks buddy. Guys. See ya.
Thank you, man. See you later. Again, thanks to our friends at Hy-Vee. You know, I was going to ask him. I should have, but I wanted to make sure it was common knowledge. It looks like it is. Yeah. Looks like it was. Stephen Weatherly played a lot yesterday, right? Good young kid.
Yeah.
He had a knee scope 2 weeks ago. And he played a lot of snaps yesterday. I wish I'd found this before we hung up, and I didn't. But I knew that it happened. I didn't know if it was common knowledge. He played a pretty damn good game yesterday. I like that kid a lot. I don't know if you spent any time with him or not, Ben. But
I have not, no.
Good kid.
Did we get to the bottom of when Eggo Fluffy Waffles debuted?
Yes.
We did?
We did.
God, I'm hungry.
And?
Oh, I'm not allowed to tell you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's confidential.
I just don't know if they're new or not. Right, I don't even care because they exist now.
Mm-hmm, they do. They exist.
What's wrong with regular Eggos? I just
yeah, but
when we come back, I want to ask Ben about Nebraska and the Golden Gopher game on Saturday.
I'm going to ask you one more time. Are you 100% sure?
On what?
The question I asked you earlier.
No, I'm not.
Are you going to play the fart again?
No.
Sorry.
No, he's not.
You're sassy today.
He's so sassy.
I got a
Sauce, look over here. Look over here.
No, I can't.
Why are you leaning like that?
I have to walk over to look. What?
He's like in a funhouse. Get out of here.
Don't
like
talk.
A Tim Burton movie.
Ooh.
The Power to Your Morning Show returns with Ben Lieber after this on The Fan.
Join the Fan along with Paul Allen and Paul Charchin for a football feast, a Friday football feast. Buffalo Wild Wings in Oakdale this Friday, November 17th. More details, KFAN.com, keyword events. And if that's not your tune, how about a four-pack of tickets to see Monster Jam at U.S. Bank Stadium December 2nd? One grand prize winner will also be upgraded to front row seats. But right now, the four-pack of tickets on the line. Caller number 11, 651-995-326, 800-320-5326.
Thank you, AJ.
The Quacko, whatever it was.
Right. The Vikes win. 7-2 atop the division. The Vikes are 7-2. The Lions, I mean, the Lions are 5-4. The Pack, they're 5-4 after a win.
The Browns were up 10-0. And then actually led later in the game as well.
17-10.
But the Browns are so bad. So bad. That the Lions found a way to come back and win.
Big.
Which I think before the Niners went on to beat the Giants. Once the Browns took a 10-point lead, the Niners were the only team in the league to not have a 10-point lead at one point in the season.
Mm.
And then they easily did that yesterday. Ben McAdoo's getting fired, right?
Oh, yeah. I thought he would. Did they let him on the plane to come home?
He's done. How can you be so wrong so fast with a coach? Just the team hates him. Nothing works. Let's not forget, this was
And now, obviously, it's wrong. It ended up being wrong, and Odell Beckham Jr. is not playing. But this was supposed to be a fashionable Super Bowl contending team. The Giants were supposed to be on the brink, and they're one of the three or four worst teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
You have to get fired. That's a huge failure.
Well, and part of it was...
Tilt's trying to look at you over here, Chris.
I told you. It's a $5 foot long.
Dude, there's a Duraflame log in the toilet.
I'm telling you. And, I don't mean to be dirty and gross, but I'm going to tell you, whoever's doing that is doing it on purpose, obviously, and they're not even covering it up with TP.
Who doesn't?
And they leave it in there.
Do they not on eat purpose. Fiber?
I don't know. I don't know how they're not laying in there wounded beside it.
Yeah, find the person who's sleeping at their desk. I'm with you, honestly. And this is no exaggeration. Like, people that are listening, this is no exaggeration. There is a gigantic log in the first stall of the iHeart Studios bathroom.
And you said there's no teepee.
No. Go down and look at it. And the thing is, and then Hawk.
It was the immaculate really was, defecation.
He
it
really
was flawless. No toilet paper needed.
No, it's impossible. It's impossible. He was so taken aback. He's like, you guys see this thing? And I'm like, I looked and I. Then he went over to the other stall, and it was full of toilet paper. So this person probably...
Oh, good point.
This person probably said, I cannot believe that Duraflame came out of me, right?
And
I have to leave this for somebody else to see, which is such a juvenile, like, frat house prank.
Sure.
Right? And somehow shuffled his feet over to the other stall... To finish cleaning himself.
Sure.
But then...
Which is, that's a disgusting walk, right?
But then didn't flush that either.
Terrible nope. 5 seconds.
So not that we need that to one. See... So we don't need to see both deals. Let me go back to the first thing, though. When he says, I'm surprised he's not on the ground wounded, he's not lying. Like, it looked like it would have given somebody a male episiotomy.
Yeah.
That thing would have ripped all the way...
Yep.
Through and up.
Right? I have a theory.
Oh, no.
I have a theory. Sauce.
Yes, babe.
This is the second time in a week we've discussed this, right? Because we talked about the disaster last week, right? Look, it's okay. We sent Barrero to Hawaii. We can talk about craps and farts and all these things. That's what we do. Craps.
My sources say Abbott's already fielding phone calls about the fart.
About the fart?
Yeah, and I'm going to get yelled
That's
at.
Fine.
And I can't.
But let me ask you. So this is the second time this has come up. And last week, we're like, who do we work with? Who would do this? And now it's clearly happened again. Same time of day, too, which means it's probably the same person. It's potentially the same person, correct?
Maybe they took our conversation as a challenge.
Well, no, that's kind of where I'm going with this. Sauce, what did Ted Bundy like to do in court?
He used to like to have the court reporter or somebody who was on the scene of one of his crimes tell him exactly what they saw.
Nailed it. It's not just that they do it. It's they want to know how it affects other people.
Thing.
So what if this person who did it last week heard us saying, who does this? What a disaster. What kind of human being would leave this at your own place of employment?
I know.
But it happened again, which means... What are the chances that this person is either listening right now or goes home, gets a nice bottle of red wine, sits on the couch with a fire, and podcasts the hell out of their own poop details?
Kevin Gord.
Well, and if Dwight Hockey saw this, he'd immediately, this is a first-class Hall of Fame dump. I'm going to get yelled at for something. It was Kevin Gord. Who else could it be, big boy sky?
Ron Johnson.
No way. He would have tweeted about it.
Yeah, he would have had four or five Ansel Adam-like pictures walking into the bathroom.
Well, I don't think his photographer can't come into the bathroom. That's illegal.
Yeah, just use the tripod.
Who else could it be, big voice guy?
Lavelle.
Keep going. Who else?
How was work today?
It's great.
Talked about dinosaur turds.
Who are you talking to there in that scenario?
Oh, Siri.
Muppet. Oh, that was Siri. Give me your phone.
Oh, I'll tell Muppet later. Who else could it be?
Bob Boo.
You're going to hear about that.
No, we're equal opportunity here. Progress.
Who else could have taken a Duraflame dump in the toilet?
I'm done.
You gotta have one more.
It was definitely in the male bathroom. It was in the men's room, but still, you never know.
I'm done. In more ways than one.
Easy segue now to Golden Gopher Sports.
Oh, yeah.
PJ Fleck with Big Ten win number two. No pun intended. But you were there, the big FS1 broadcast. You did a Gopher television game, which is nice. You're all over the country doing random college football games. You got to stay home and do a Gopher game. Your thoughts?
It was weird to be home, to not be in a hotel on a Friday night and just kind of get my own like little routine about what I do to prep. So it was bizarre just to drive across town and do the game. Was really honored to do the game. It was pretty cool to stay in town. About the game, I think that if I had to guess, that surprised everybody. That performance there surprised everybody in the organization, including PJ Fleck.
And it was so dominant.
It was so dominant. And I think that he for sure has a lot of faith in his team. And I think that you could feel the optimism in the building, just that they're playing somebody that they can truly, truly compete with after coming off a week in which they said, you look at Michigan and, you know, in a lot of ways, we just couldn't compete with them. They just have bigger and better athletes. But this game, I think they walked in with, all right, this is a fair fight. Just sort of where I think based off of this game, they have a fair fight against Northwestern, who they play at Northwestern this weekend. So, you know, they came into it obviously excited, but I don't think anybody expected Demery Croft to have the game that he did. Mm. I mean, they were kind of they don't really know what they have out of him yet, because in one game he's a pocket passer, in another game they want him to run more, and I think he executed the game plan flawlessly. He was great on the zone read stuff, and all the passing game stuff was, if he didn't have the first read or a check down, he was going to run, and he was very decisive about that, and I think that's sort of kept the whole offense in rhythm. And then, you know, the defense stepped up as well.
Yeah, they killed it.
But J.D. Spielman for Nebraska had a heck of a game again.
Looks like the real
and
deal.
He looks like
that's
the real
deal.
Saying. I mean, they're going to be going through a coaching change. I mean, Mike Riley most likely, I mean, almost certainly he's going to get fired before the end of the season or at the end of the season. So they're going to find a way to keep J.D. involved in that offense, because he's a good talent.
Well, good job on Saturday, man. It sounded good.
Thank you.
And good job yesterday. We'll see you on Thursday.
That's it. Yeah, I'll see you guys Thursday.
Let's go take a field trip.
No.
No interest.
No.
9 to Nooner next, covering that 38-30 win by your Minnesota Vikings. We're back tomorrow, 5:30 to 9. See you then.
Listen back to a podcast of today's show. Visit the Power Trip Morning Show channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.